Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Great beer is about drinkability. Doesn't matter the style.
You guys are like walking beer Wikipedia.
That's the first time that you've ever accepted me as a person.
Or you have a fermentation in your gut.
Yeah. I'm jet propelled at all times.
How many guys do you think that you have the privilege to slap?
Somebody who's never tasted a commercial example, and this is how you know everything about this beer? Please, you don't.
I think it's bullshit.
I think it's bullshit too.
Wow. Are you guys going to arm wrestle?
No.
We're going to teabag fight instead.
Yeah. You heard of Junkyard Wars?
Can I get another high five, Beavis?
Now, live from the Brewing Network studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
Welcome, everybody. It is The Session. You're listening to The Brewing Network. My name is Jason, and across from me is Warren.
It is. I am across from you.
And then locked away in the closet of pain is Beverly.
Just smiling into her microphone.
Hello. Still here. Still saying hello.
Look,
hi.
Man, it's not me. It's you. I'm not going to repeat
you
it.
You are the worst.
I opened up with a banger on Bev, dude. Yeah. Just dropped shells on her.
That was so awful.
Yeah,
roasted her.
On this week coming up of 9/11, I destroyed her in remembrance of the first responders.
Oh,
thank
two
you very
747s.
Much. Yeah. That was bad. It was good, though. It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
We all enjoyed it here.
You have to
studio.
Push the button, Beverly.
Oh, yeah. I do have to push the button. Yeah. It's my first time here.
And when you dock.
Yeah. Yes, does that mean I can leave? I said that was my birthday present from the Brewing Network. I shouldn't expect anything else.
That's right. It was your birthday.
It was my birthday.
Beverly turned 44 over the weekend.
Grandma over here.
Yeah. It's like you're the second person who has said that I've turned 44 in 2 days.
You haven't?
Shut up, Warren.
Well, I mean, look, as friends, we keep track of how old you are. So don't yell at me if I know how old you are. What'd you do for your birthday?
I'm sorry, I was going to get up and fix the camera, but what did I do or what did I get?
I don't know, both, man. I don't know. I'm just trying to talk to you.
I didn't do and or get anything, really. We just came home.
Like, Sam
we just
is
came
a lucky
home. All right, cool. Well, go ahead, Beverly.
We just came back from a road trip, so.
Yeah, a little roadie.
We got home. It was my birthday. I just wanted to be left alone. So Sam and Abby left me alone for like 5 hours. It was amazing.
For your birthday, you got loneliness.
I got solace.
Yeah, well, okay, yes.
And it was wonderful.
All right. Well, that's good. Beverly, happy birthday. Happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
And, you know, I'm glad you got everything you wanted.
It's all I want in life.
We'll ignore you for the next 3 hours in honor of your birthday.
That's promise?
Right. That's no. Right. This session is pretty good.
Yeah?
I'm excited about it because I get to man a homebrewing session show with Warren.
I'm excited to talk about homebrew today.
Yes.
I was actually thinking about getting into homebrewing, because I can't find any drinkable beer
Bro,
anymore.
Come over to my house. I have Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, Sierra Nevada Oktoberfest. I have Spark Ale from the 21st Amendment.
Okay.
And I have some Rare Barrel. And that's it.
Nice.
That's all I got.
I was really digging
that's all there is.
I was really digging the Oktoberfest last week. I got a 6-pack as well.
That's a good... I got a 12-pack, bro. I graduated.
You won up to me once again.
It's, yeah, the Sierra Nevada Oktoberfest. If you haven't had it, and believe it or not, there are people out there who haven't had it. My buddy's like, oh, I don't really drink lagers from Sierra Nevada. I'm like, first of all, how many lagers are there? There's Summerfest.
Right.
Which, you know, that's fine. A lot of people like it. Yeah, I like crisper lagers, maybe? I don't know what it is, right?
Sure.
But they have Sierra Veza, which he hadn't had, which is one of my favorite beers, top five beers right now.
Yeah.
And then there's this, and that's kind of it. I'm like, what are you... You're actively just lying right now. So he got it, and he goes, dude, this is amazing. This is an amazing beer. And then he went out and bought a 12-pack of it, too. So,
and you got to say you're welcome how many times?
A lot.
Good.
Yeah. It's basically on repeat. He's still listening to the voicemail. You're welcome. Yeah, but it's in conjunction with Bitburger.
Yes.
You know, they do those the collabs, and they switch up a German brewer every year.
Yeah.
I like it.
I was surprised at how dark it was when I poured it out of the bottle one time just to see.
Oh. I still have you not to do it. No. Drink it out of the bottle, man. I don't care. Hey, look, it's nature's perfect vessel.
I mean, it was a science experiment for me because Oktoberfest is a style that gets mixed with Märzens and now Fest beer, and so you can get a whole spectrum of color and malt characters.
You can, and that's kind of why I think a lot of people turn away from Oktoberfest as a style, because so often we were pitched Märzens as Oktoberfest because you would get that slash, right? Oktoberfest slash Märzen.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of, like you said, a lot of caramel, a lot of American malt in the craft beer.
Right.
Well, back then, when I'm talking about, this is the age of the microbrewery, right?
Oh, okay.
So, you know, but I think the true Oktoberfests, and I don't know, I've never been, but the ones that I've been seeing lately and talking to the people on the show, they're lighter.
Yeah.
It's not that heavy nonsense. And that's exactly what these collab Oktoberfests are, with Sierra Nevada, is they're lighter.
They are. They're definitely not a Märzen, but... And I think in the past few years, they've been even a bit lighter in color as well. And this one's the darkest that I remember of recent collabs.
Okay. I should maybe one day pour it out of the glass. Sully, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Nope. You fooled me. You grabbed the headphones off of one mic and then pulled the other.
I'm always in the center mic. I just go to where I'm told to go.
Spiritually?
There's a little arrow. Just Sully, go here. I just don't even look at anything else. Just lock in.
You have those Google glasses on and just VR you right to the... Yeah. I'm actually home right now.
This is a treat.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. This is a treat. You're behind. You're in the big chair.
I'm in the big boy chair.
Yeah,
and we're ready to go. We're talking homebrew. We're talking NHC medal winners.
Only the best homebrew here.
Only the best homebrew here. That's out, which is why Warren and I didn't bring any.
Right.
You didn't bring homebrew. I did.
Did you?
No.
Okay. Right.
Still, only the best here.
Yeah, only the best. That's right. We have four medal winning homebrewers on the show today.
Perfect.
Three of them are in studio. One of them is calling in, and we have our buddy Matt Sager coming in from Danville Brewing Company to talk about collaborations and sort of scaling up homebrew recipes for commercial replication.
Nice.
So it's going to be a lot of recipe talk. There's a lot going on. So stick with us. It's going to be a good time. And I would say call in, but I keep forgetting we don't have phones anymore. So maybe in the chat room. I don't know.
Write an email to jp@thebrewingnetwork.com.
That's right. Write an email.
Send your questions.
And maybe I'll figure it out. But I'm pretty excited. And we have some homebrew to drink. So we have a guy.
Wow.
Justin is his name.
Yeah?
Not Justin Crossley.
Oh. But
another Justin. Okay. A taller Justin.
What?
Yeah.
Taller than Justin?
I think so. I don't know, man. Blah, 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 blah. He flew all the way out here from somewhere. Like, he flew out.
Oh, my God.
Like, he wrote in when we talked about this show a couple months ago. And he's like, oh, you know, I have a beer. I would love to be on the show. I'm like, okay, cool. It's this date. And he goes, okay, I'll book my plane ticket. I'm like, bro.
From San Jose.
Right, yeah. From Buchanan, actually. He just jumped out of the...
he is very tall.
He's a parachuter. He lives down the street from me.
Oh.
Now, I'm like, you don't have to. I'm sorry if I led you astray, but we can't really bring you out here. The only thing we can do is offer you beer. He's like, no, I know. I want to go out there. I'm like,
you're trying to undersell it,
right? Yeah.
And he's like, no, I totally will. I will eat glass too. That's not involved. I'll do that.
We have an egg carton that we can let you sit on. We don't have an extra chair.
You can sit on my shoulders.
Yeah,
I'll just care. Yeah.
All those. So why would it?
Well, that's true. I thought it was cool. And he shipped his beer out here because he couldn't.
Wow,
he couldn't carry it.
God.
This guy's a maniac.
It better be good.
It better be. I think it's a
no pressure. Or no pressure.
I think it's a Baltic Porter.
Ooh, good style.
I love that style.
So yeah. A medal-winning Baltic Porter. I know we're going to talk to Andy here at the end of this break. He won, I believe, pale ale, something like that.
Wow. And that's the beer we don't get to try.
That's the beer we don't get to try. Paul Brown won something for something. Paul Brown, our old friend.
Oh, I like Paul.
Not elderly. I mean, he is elderly,
also slow down.
All right, sorry. He's younger than Sully.
You speak up.
Turn up your hearing aid, Sully.
and then we have two dozers coming in from Club Doze.
Oh, nice.
I just saw him out there actually, Paul Brown.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a good show, and I think we're going to do a little roundtable sesh.
Ooh.
You know, kind of take each beer individually. So you're going to get recipes from these people as well. As how they did it, processes, sort of what's involved in what they think is why they won this friggin' medal.
Great.
That's exciting.
Yeah. I like it. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
That way you can beat them next year.
That's right. You can take the. Please do me a favor. Take their beers, enter them, brew them at your house, enter them, and if you beat them,
you'll be on next year.
Right,
you'll
be on next, right.
Yeah.
And it's really, we only have the winners in these categories on. That's it.
Going from here on out,
yeah.
It's just these categories.
Yeah, that's right.
Baltic Porter, round 12.
Here we go. Yeah, I'm like 54 talking about another Baltic Porter.
That's not so bad.
The same Baltic Porter recipe.
Justin's still flying out here.
Yeah, he's like, oh my God. I'm here again. I keep winning my own.
Shorter, though, because I shrink.
This show is brought to you by More Beer, of course. Don't forget that. They have absolutely everything you need to make great beer at home by going to morebeer.com. I actually need to hit the boys up at morebeer.com because they have coffee roasting. I don't homebrew a whole lot anymore. I just don't have time anymore. But what I do have time for, coffee roasting. I live and breathe coffee right now.
Really? I saw your whole feed today, and it sounded like maybe you do need a little coffee right now.
Yeah. Allison, she's like going through the last throes of teething.
The wake up daddy phase?
Dude, and she was just up, and I'm like late. So she starts crying at some point in the night, and she eventually put herself back to sleep after 4 hours. No. So, you know, Tara and I go back to bed, and then she woke up at like 6. And I'm laying there, and it's this weird game that I play alone with myself. It's called Prostate Check. No, it's
hours go by.
Yeah, it's called Who's Gonna Go Get the Baby?
With yourself.
That's the game I play. Yeah.
You're playing the game with yourself.
I'm playing the game with myself against Taryn.
Oh, she is there. It's not.
She's there. Okay. Yeah. She's next to me. And we're in the same bed. That's, you know, that's what we.
Oh, you don't have two beds in the same room?
I fucking wish.
Like all married couples?
I wish, man.
Oh, you know what weird.
I mean? Separated by a little table.
Because every time I like roll over, I wake myself up even more trying not to wake her up. And then it's a whole thing. So I wish I could just roll over in my own stupid bed.
Yeah.
Anyway, but it's this game that I play against her where it's like, if I lay here and pretend I'm really still asleep, Taryn will go up and get the kid.
Oh, yeah. She's also playing that game with herself.
She's also, yes.
And they're like, you just mumble, are you sleeping? I'm not sleeping.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and especially when
this was paper, let's do it.
Especially in like the random few times that I actually have to like work late at night, like tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have to go up and get with the kid. I don't want to have to do that. So I'm expecting. Anyway, it says I just got up and laid with the stupid kid. It was a whole thing, man.
Kid. Is she old enough to do what young kids love to do, I've heard, is go camping in the backyard? You can just set a tent up and let
just
Alice
leave her there
in the back. She's camping.
Well, we've done that, but with no tent. We just sort of lock the door.
Oh,
where we
that's
go
even
like
easier.
If you're not in by 10:01, you're out there.
Yeah. We'll this be back like at 6 a.m.
Yeah, it's like a boarding house.
Yeah.
I have rules, and you need to be...
Routine's important. It's good for them.
Yeah. But yeah, today I've had a lot of coffee, but Taryn and I have been doing this intermittent fasting. Have you guys heard about this stupid bullcrap?
Like microdosing?
Why are you doing that to yourself?
To be honest with you, I totally want to try that. I totally want to try my... No, it's... I don't know. Taryn was talking to me about it, and I'm just going to do whatever diet supports her. Like, whatever. I don't really care.
It's a sympathy diet.
For sure. But it's sort of the new, even though it's not new, it's like the new hotness where you eat. I think Tasty was actually doing it. Remember those times where we'd be like, no, I'm not eating after 8. I think that's what he was doing.
Yeah. Okay.
Where you only eat like for 8 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of that time, like 16 or however many hours are left, you don't eat anything. You consume 0 calories.
Can you eat for the full 8 hours, though?
Constantly.
Constantly?
Yeah.
Food shove. Just
wah. Yeah. Well, and it's sort of like up for debate because I think you still can have 3 meals, but eventually your stomach shrinks. Mm-hmm. So you're not eating as much. So it's very much like weight loss by reduced calories.
Yeah.
But supposedly it also crashes your insulin. When your insulin drops, like at night, then you burn, your body's burning fat.
Yeah.
Or you could just exercise.
You could do that too.
Moderation and exercise also might work.
Yeah, but there's also like a weird side to it.
Oh my God, you guys sound like Sam. Shut up.
there's like
Welcome
a weird
home.
Side to it where like some sort of the enzymes and like the chain of your DNA or whatever, okay. or your cellular, whatever the fuck. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a fucking scientist.
Sounds like it's working
light,
on you.
Cellulite.
Yeah, your cellulite. Yeah. No, there's like some enzymes that like sort of like aging. I don't understand it, but like
anti-aging?
Yeah, it's like the proteins and like your DNA on the end caps of your DNA,
okay.
Your cellular structure, they get longer when you do intermittent fasting.
Have you been on Reddit a little bit too much?
Your DNA's getting longer right now? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm more of an 8chan guy, so let's just chill out.
I think we totally stepped on the beer.
The Sword and the Shield podcast. I'm a meaty, fat, proud boy. No. Anyway, it's supposed to like help with sort of like a longevity. Processed? I don't know, man.
I hope it works great for you.
Well, we'll find out.
Moderation.
20 to 40 years.
Yeah.
But the downside is, there's two downsides. One, I'm drinking a shit ton more coffee because I'm hungry the time.
Just fill that up with water and other
drinking tons of water.
Things.
I got my Wadi right here.
Wadi.
I'm also drinking a lot more beer.
Those are calories.
Yeah, that's,
I know.
That's like what you're supposed to be doing.
Huh? Yeah.
I know.
Don't tell Taryn.
She's buying me all the beer.
I think that's patience juice for you for your child, though. That's a completely different program.
That just means you get to be hammered for the 8 hours that you're not fasting.
Well, yeah. It's just I'm like drinking beer more often. It's just not, I don't know, man. My balance is off.
Do you just pound a 6-pack right before hour 8 so that way you got a nice buzz?
I got 2 minutes. I got to get this in.
I got a whole chart. I don't know. Whatever, man.
You'll
Kids
figure
are
it out.
Yeah, you'll figure it out.
You will. It's fine.
Everyone will figure it out.
Or you
won't. It's just for now.
That's true. Let's do some feedback. What do you guys think?
Great.
Do it.
Did anybody give us any?
Yeah, they did, as a matter of fact. We kind of got a lot. And, of course, feedback is brought to you by the Beer Law Center. John at the Beer Law Center will help you navigate the myriad of paperworks. And I said that on purpose. The myriad of paperwork to open your any sort of alcohol-related license on the federal level, not at the state level, because he's in North Carolina. But he's a good federal guy, so if you're opening a brewery or distillery or winery or whatever, ask him for some help. Oh, there you go. We got a last-minute change to the live reads. Thank you, Beverly. Appreciate that very much. Anyway, so hit him up. John at the Beer Law Center. Go to thebeerlawcenter.com and make the bow tie work for you.
That's his official slogan, right?
It is now.
Yeah.
Make it work for you.
No, do it. Speaking of slogans.
Please.
No, I'm not going. You know, so I went to, a couple weekends ago, I went to my nephew's wedding.
Okay.
It's like way up in a place called Gray Eagle. You ever heard of Gray Eagle?
Is that in California?
No.
I think like Plumas County, which is now like actively on fire, but it's like it's like 3 hours northeast. It's just way up there. It's nice. It's like, you know, beautiful country or whatever.
Trees.
It's like the foothills, right?
No, it's like the mountains.
Past Redding?
Yeah. It's like an hour and a half beyond Auburn.
Oh,
okay.
It's way out there. It was way out there, man. It's in the middle of nowhere.
Gray Eagle.
Gray Eagle. But it's G-R-A Eagle.
Hmm.
Grayago. It's French.
Gray.
Well, and
what's going on up there?
And a marriage. And apparently, apparently my nephew's like a Trump guy.
Oh.
Because he's a cop.
And in Gray Eagle.
Yeah, and his wife, I probably shouldn't be talking about this, but whatever. And his now wife is like the granddaughter of a senator, a Republican, so she's a Trump person.
Oh.
And so we're like, okay, that's fine.
Sure.
The rest of the family is definitely not these things. So it's very, you know, you just kind of, like any family gathering, you just don't, you know what you're not supposed to talk about.
You tiptoe around.
You walk around like gunslingers.
Basically, yeah. Spitting tobacco everywhere.
Yeah.
But we get to the reception. And they had like beer koozies. First of all, these kids are fucking drunks. Like, they're, like, shotgunning beers, and they're icing each other, and, like, when they got
before
announced...
Before the ceremony?
During and after. When they got announced into the thing, like, the wedding party and whatever, everyone was shotgunned beers, and they got bags of Fireball.
Bags of Fireball.
Apparently, they come in bags, like dispensing bags.
Like bags, like cellophane bags of wine?
Yes.
Like boxed wine, dissolved.
With no box. And they were on the...
environmental thing.
They're saving the planet.
Amazing.
Yeah.
They were on the dance floor.
Oh, no.
Just bag open. These kids...
Okay, I feel like you're judging, but that definitely happened at your wedding out of a bottle.
I'm not
several
judging.
Several bottles.
But
I was there.
You're right.
Might have happened.
You're right. I forgot about that.
I think I read that part in the vows.
Well, I kind of did.
You forgot something.
Yeah. But we sit down at the table and... you know, have these koozies or whatever, and one of my other nephews is like, what the fuck is this? And they had blue and red ones. And I feel like, you know, whatever.
Okay.
And the red one says, make marriage great again.
Oh, like,
the whole table's going, oh, fuck. What do we do? What do we do? I don't know. It's now my new favorite cozy.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I use it all the time at home. But not outside, not in the front yard. In the backyard, I'll use it, but not in the front yard.
Did you get a blue one?
No, I took the red one. Are you kidding me? And it's funny because the blue one had no slogan.
It just said
their name and the date and then like a heart or whatever on the other side.
Wow.
Trip me up.
That's great.
God bless.
That's the best wedding favor I think I've ever heard.
It was really good, man. I loved it. Okay, here, feedback. Hey guys, Matt here. No, not that Matt. I don't know. I feel a little out of the loop on some of this shit.
You'll get it back. Don't worry.
All right, thank you. I heard the discussions regarding the macro beer ad that was slipped into some vacant ad slots and the overreaction by that Matt. Personally, hearing the occasional macro beer ad on the BN, if it helps you guys make ends meet, would not bother me one bit. I've been a longtime listener, though, and I understand Justin's response to that Matt's email, and I feel it was warranted. Was it warranted, Warren?
Yes.
Was it warranted?
Yeah. I wish Shitty Matt was more like Cool Matt.
Oh, well, don't we all, really? It's good to hear Matt may have changed his mind after Justin's response. In any event, as I was listening to the end of the Eight Bridges podcast and the Long Beach Beer Lab podcast began, the very first ad I heard was, once again, the Michelob Ultra ad. We have a Michelob Ultra ad running. That's cool.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Can of worms.
The new advertising agency that pops in ads.
I love that.
Apparently, even though Justin said no alcohol ads at all,
yeah,
Michelob Ultra ads have been popping up intermittently.
Oh.
And Justin has already apparently gone back and forth with the ad company saying, hey, you guys, you got to work on your algorithm or whatever to keep this shit from happening.
That down.
Yeah, shut it down. Apparently, it has not shut down. We just heard it.
Maybe it takes 30 days to sort of act. Maybe there's like a lag period.
Yeah, like work through all that nonsense.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know, but Michelob Ultra is my new favorite beer.
Yeah.
Because of the ad.
Yeah, that's right. Advertising works. My radio display read the Long Beach Beer Lab podcast and not the Eight Bridges one, so I think that ad was still slipped into a podcast after the big discussion regarding making sure that doesn't happen anymore. Even if it was the very last ad to play on the Eight Bridges episode, it's still playing. Whatever. Huh. I don't know. I don't even know what that fucking two sentences mean. I'm sure I'm not the first to point this out, but I want to just make sure you are aware... the problem might not be quite sorted out yet.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Keep
up the great work. It was great to hear Tasty is going well, and I appreciate the update regarding him.
Yeah, it was fun seeing him.
From Matt.
Yeah.
Well, he was here.
Yeah. Yes.
Nice. This next one is from Ryan. There you go. Hello, all. Our local Houston homebrew shop, DeFalco's, announced they were closing after 48 years. Man, I remember doing business with DeFalco's through More Beer.
Do you remember that shop?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was homebrewing legal 48 years ago?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess it was mid-70s,
right? Let me get my leather-bound book out here that I was writing in back then.
Maester Sully.
Yes, open the tomb. Yeah. 40 years ago to the day, Warren. That's why they're closing the blasted shop down.
Talking to a couple of employees, the consensus was that homebrewing is dead.
Wow.
The biggest thing they pointed to was the fact that there are over 60 breweries in the Houston area. Houston area. Welcome to Houston. You here for some barbecue?
Howdy.
Houston.
Howdy.
9 years ago, there were three. So over 9 years, they opened 57 breweries in Houston. Damn,
wow,
boy.
That's a lot of breweries.
So all of their customers opened up their own brewery.
Basically, yeah. I would love to hear your thoughts. Is home brewing dead? No.
Well, we're going to have a show all about it.
So hopefully yeah,
right
it's not.
Now. Yeah.
I don't think it is, but I think it's cyclical like anything else. I mean,
yes.
You know, you talk to our local homebrew shops here and they see waves of it, you know, kind of ebbs and flows. And I guess just probably ebbing or flowing. I guess it's ebbing, right? you know, you're people I mean, get in and out of it and come back to it. And
it's, yeah, exactly. I mean, I haven't brewed in a long time. I actually have two kits that have been sitting on my kitchen table for 2 months. I just haven't done it, mainly because I don't want to do the work.
You just push a button, though?
You push a button, but it's all the shit afterwards.
Okay.
You know, like, you still have to clean everything, pitch everything, put it in the thing, wait, keg it, clean everything. I just kind of work I'm not into anymore.
Yeah. It's easy to get your wife pregnant. It's all the work that comes after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically.
Maybe you learned your lesson.
Yeah. That's why I only drink beer from, like, three breweries now.
Yeah.
That's it. Because I don't go out anymore. Like, I went out to a beer bar in the area, which will remain nameless, not this one. And there were two pale ales on tap on a board of 20. And I was actually like enthused for a second. And then I had one. I'm like, this, first of all, tastes like meat. And second of all, it's not a fucking pale ale. It's an IPA. It's a 5.5% IPA.
That tastes like meat.
It smelled like meat. You know, that meaty like thing that the homebrew kind of gets sometimes?
Tall, rancid meat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dead yeast.
Yeah. It was weird.
That's unfortunate.
Anyway. 60 breweries in the Houston area. I would imagine a lot of them probably, well, I'm not going to say that, but is homebrewing dead? I don't know. I don't think so. It's just weird right now. Things are weird.
I think it's been ebbing for a little bit, but I think the flow is going to start happening again.
Yeah, people get back into it. There's like a nostalgia thing that swings back. You've got people who go, I'm going to go do it again, and then other people get involved, and it starts up again.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Let's see.
It's like sewing. You know, you get out of sewing for a little bit, then you get back into it.
That's right.
Some people just never get into it.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe one day.
Here, we got Andy calling. Hang on just a second. Hey, man. Sorry, I'm running late.
A little peek behind the curtain.
Is that okay? Yeah, Andy couldn't make it in, so we're Skyping. Anyway, this one is from Tim from Virginia. Dear Brewing Network, several thoughts have been bouncing around in my head.
Oh, good.
However,
for you.
Yeah, congratulations.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah. All right, the next one is no. However, every time I think about emailing you about it and then I forget about it, you know, like when you walk through a doorway.
Yeah. Keep going. I get it. I'm there.
All right.
I got it.
All right. Anyway, here are some thoughts. Number one, you record in a bar. Well, I mean, I guess. We record in an
adjacent
office.
Adjacent to a bar.
Yeah, we record in a bar break room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you, that was for
well, it's a,
that,
studio
that was for
adjacent
Bez.
To yes. the bar.
That was specifically a joke for Beverly.
Because I spent 40 minutes cleaning the break room before everybody got here today.
It's true.
And I'm putting,
it's always so immaculate when I come in here.
I'm putting rings all over
vacuumed.
This table.
Yeah. You record in a bar. Have you thought about inviting one patron into co-host on occasion when you're short on brewcasters? Literally, no. Literally, we've never.
None of us have thought that.
Let's just ever. Do that right now. Let's see. Let me look out the window here. Anybody? Anybody? You, sir, you've had too many. Come on in.
Oh, God, damn.
Spice this thing up.
Can you imagine?
This is how we get the drunk of the week back. Exactly. We just bring people in here.
You know what? And when we started recording in here, I had a bunch of ideas about how to incorporate the people out there, but okay. involved talking to people.
Ugh.
And there's a lot of segment of people that just either don't want to be bothered or they just think they're funnier than they are. And then so you're going to open, like anyway, Tim is.
Can of worms.
You're not talking about us though, right?
Not talking about us.
Yeah, okay.
Tim says, I know it would probably open a can of worms. Yeah, it's just, it would be really weird. So I appreciate the you thinking about our hosting.
I think you should try it once.
You know what?
And it'll be that show. It'll be great. Yeah.
All it's going to be is that scene in Boogie Nights where...
Which one?
I'm excited to see where this goes.
Not the flop out. Bev instantly puts her elbow in her palm and flops her fucking forearm out. No. The scene where Burt Reynolds is in the limo and he just picks a random punter off the street to like bang Roller Girl. Yeah. And he's like, go easy, man. This is Roller Girl. And the guy's like, I know what I'm doing. And then she ends up braining him with her roller skate. That's exactly what it would be. It would be like, hold on, dude. This is the Bring Network.
Yeah.
This is the session.
Go easy on
it. Yeah, go easy.
Very specific example you just gave.
That really was very, very, like...
locked in.
Yeah. Like,
huh? Oh, I'm a little uncomfortable.
Did you just see that movie this afternoon and you were waiting for it?
No. Turn the radio off.
He said, but it'd be fun...
Uncle Jason stepped over the line. Turn the radio off. Go to bed. It's time to go to bed.
Or do drunk trivia, whatever. No, we haven't thought about that, and we're never going to do that. Two, it would be nice to have a Where Are They Now kind of segment. All those callers that used to be regulars and never call anymore. Blobber Glop, Sarah 36C, The Woods, I'd love to hear what they're up to. We do that on occasion.
Yeah.
Blobber is still in Canada, being a weird guy.
Yeah.
Sarah 36C, I have no idea.
I don't even know who that is.
She is the one that's been a mystery.
The Woods, I actually, coming back from Grey Eagle, I had lunch with The Woods. In Auburn.
Oh, nice.
They're both doing wonderful. Yeah. They're still amazing people, and I love them both very much.
Still high energy, still being principals.
Yes.
Yeah.
Andy is still a principal.
Basically, they got to meet Alice, and that was really cool. I knew that Alice would love them, and she did. He says, number three, I forgot this one. Okay. Oh. Number four. Oh, I had to give up the hobby of homebrewing because of time and space, but would love to get back into it. I'd love to hear an interview with someone that is keen with building an electric brewery, because that would be my next step from where I left off. Five. I think that's all I got. Tally ho. Okay. Yeah, there is a guy.
There's some ideas there.
Yeah. There's a guy doing a lot of electric builds on Instagram.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll try to reach out to him. That'd be kind of cool.
I just had a thought going around in my head.
Email me at Jason. At the
I don't. You have to have five.
Oh shit! Okay.
That's right.
Then I'll get back to you.
Yeah. What's your thought?
My thought was maybe homebrewing has been ebbing because we haven't been talking about it very much here on the session.
Oh,
we've been talking too many professional brewers. It's our fault, maybe.
Wow, that's instantly a lot of pressure and a lot of credit.
That's why I thought it.
Today the needle will move the other direction.
Right. We're doing our part now.
Yeah,
we realize
that's right.
The error of our ways.
Right. 50 minutes into the segment, everyone's going to be like, then now I know why I don't homebrew anymore. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Too many rules.
The other thing.
That's right.
They stopped talking about it and I forgot how to do it.
Rob writes in and says, getting caught up on my podcast and listening to the Eight Bridges episode of The Session this morning. Wow. That's 2 8 Bridges in a row. And wanted to provide another input on the Michelob Ultra ad. I heard this ad while listening to a past episode, and you know what I didn't do? I didn't send a threatening email to Justin. I didn't feel like I was above a free podcast making some money, and I didn't delete the Brewing Network from my podcast app. You know what I actually did? I laughed. I knew for sure it was due to the new ad agency, and I thought the timing was just unfortunate. Shit happens. If Matt is such a loyal listener, he would have heard Justin describing their new ad system, like why there are IKEA ads sometimes. I'm also be sure not to patronage anything owned by AB InBev, and I applaud Justin and the BN for being a strong voice for craft beer. Keep producing the great content.
Well, there you go.
Did Matt like threaten to?
Oh, he said I already stopped listening and everything's deleted.
But he
off
came
my
back
phone.
Around though.
Yeah. I don't appreciate this whole cancel culture thing on Matt. Like,
cancel
he came
culture.
Around.
What? I've never heard of that.
He recognized that he was a little bit extreme,
about
and now he's being fine.
cancer culture. Cancel?
Cancel.
Yeah. Cancel.
I had someone do that on our Ears Up show.
What did you say?
How did we sell out on Ears
Up? I hate Disneyland.
No, it was someone canceled because I was mean to somebody. And I'm like, okay, I understand where you're coming from, but the person that I was like, you know, talked about was an insane person. And he like makes up a bunch of Disney shit, and then like people go to his website and they click on the ads and he makes a bunch of money. So he's just like lying. Anyway, and she's like, I don't care. We should just be nicer to each other. And my signature is see you in the parks, because that's our sign off on the thing. And she goes, I will not be seeing you in the parks, actually,
oh,
because I have deleted you. And I'm like, wow. Okay, cool.
So did you respond?
Cancel. Yeah, with a dick pic.
Nice.
Yeah.
Joke's on her.
Yeah, it really is.
Again, Ryan, please go to bed. Please go to bed.
Ryan, let me tell you how to troll people on the internet.
Oh, my gosh. Stop it.
No, I'm just kidding.
And I think Boogie Nights is streaming on Netflix, so if you want to check that out.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Streaming on my Discord channel. Josh writes in and says, hey, Brewcasters, I want to touch on the topic brought up in a recent session, Boner USA.
That's a city?
Apparently.
Oh.
It was a topic
a
recent session.
Yes, it is Boner,
we did.
USA.
Yeah.
Was I here for that?
I think it was Boner, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
Yeah. I don't remember exactly. But I did that on purpose.
Hey,
I'm not
Boner.
Stupid.
Well, that's not.
Totally.
You didn't know how to spell caulk.
I did know how to spell caulk.
That's right, you did.
But how do you say it?
But before I do, caulk. I was hoping to mention a few things. Caulk. I'll do this in bullet form, as Beardy seems to appreciate that.
I do.
And then he proceeded to number them, not bulletize them. So he failed.
Wow.
It's not bulleted at all.
He knows
email.
What I like.
Cancel the email.
He yeah. knows what I like and then did the opposite.
Yeah. I'm gonna do it in bullet form because Beardy likes that. Number one.
Super fan over here.
Like, all right. I was pretty disappointed to hear the recent feedback criticizing JP's performance on the session. Yeah, I haven't been here in a few shows, and I was doing the feedback and sending it to Justin. I'm like, wow, people are weird.
Glad to see you finally got over that. Yeah. Willing to show your face.
That's yeah, right.
You're yeah. back. Welcome back.
That's yeah. right, yeah. I also noticed that he's been sick, air quotes, since getting the feedback that he admitted got to him. It got to me?
Did it?
I don't
you said that?
Did
yeah,
I?
You're talking about the feedback of when you were mean to dude who flew out from Utah. Whose name I...
Yeah,
Lynn?
But I never said I got to
him. I think you said it got under your skin. Like, oh, that's why you responded and like you were a little...
Oh,
flustered.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I was, first of all, I was sick one day. And then I was going to be late because Taryn had a thing and Jay told me not to come in. So that's kind of what happened. So there. I hope these aren't
5 weeks in a row.
Yeah. It's probably been, well.
With missed, the off weeks.
Seemed like a long time.
I missed
time.
Three shows.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was a whole month.
So two, yeah, yeah. Two
I thought
out of six.
It was me. Every time I was here, you weren't here.
I missed two yeah. shows. Yeah, see, I only missed two shows. JP's been doing a great job hosting when Justin is away, and some of these asshats failed to realize that they are consuming free media and knowledge. Consume my knowledge. That's why I'm so stupid. Everyone consumes my knowledge.
They consumed it.
There you go. I would be a big brain walking around.
When you shit his knowledge back out, just send it back to him, if you can.
Please do. Please. Send it to Warren at the such an entitled group of douches sometimes. Ignore these assholes. They'll continue to drive their armchair in a dark basement, criticizing those who actually put themselves out there. Bullet point number two, Warren. It was great to hear Tasty recently. I hope he continues to do well, and I can't wait for his return. Okay, now to the point of the email. Boners. I could hear the disappointment in everyone's voice to discover there is no Boner USA. I have a solution. In my home province, there is a Dildo Canada. That's right. There's a town in the province of Newfoundland and Labrador. Little Newfie babies called Dildo.
That's how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
I guess when you can't find a boner, a dildo will work.
Basically, he's like, he's like, come to Dildo. There's a brewery called Dildo Brewing.
I think we have talked about that before, yeah, trying to get them on.
For sure.
How's that going, Bev?
You know, I never even tried to, but now I remember the conversation.
Yeah.
I will do that.
Dildo Brewing.
I think you said that last time, too.
Yeah, well, I'd like to say things to you just so you stop talking to me.
Smart.
Yeah. All right, here's our last one, then we're going to take a break, because I know Andy's going like, what the fuck's going on? this is from Patrick, and he says, hello.
Hi.
This is my first time writing into pretty much anything, but I was compelled to after listening to the recent show with Hop Revolution. I was inspired to write in after hearing you comment on the brewery with IPAs on 11 of their 13 draft lines. Well, we've got you beat here in New York. There's a regionally well-known brewery here in New York, known mostly for their wonky IPAs. If you're into the styles, they're pretty stand-up. And if you're not looking at their draft list, might give you some... Wait. And if not... And if not looking at their draft list might give you some agita.
Agita.
I don't know, man.
Agitation?
They have two locations.
This is his first time writing.
Blah, blah, blah. I also attached some screenshots. I don't care. 18 out of 20 IPAs. Yeah, I don't doubt it. I mean, I really don't doubt it. I love the show, and I've been listening for about 10 years with some brief hiatuses here and there. Oh, he came to BNA 11. That's cool. You seem like great people, just like you do on the show. Thanks for putting out such great shows and doing what you do so well, Patrick. Well, thanks, Patrick. Life is a lie.
On that up note.
Warren, do we have a Twitter game?
Of course we do.
All right. How about... Twitter game is brought to you by Beersmith. Go to beersmith.com and get your 21-day free trial of the best brewing software that you as a home brewer or potentially a commercial brewer, I don't really know, but there is out there for commercial brewers, can buy. It's free.
Free.
It's no cost to you. You install it, try it out, use all the functions. It's probably over-engineered for you, to be honest with you. For most people.
It's too good for you.
If you're like me, yeah, basically praise Brad. He's over-delivering for you. Because you're just going to brew a fucking IPA.
Oh, my God.
Home brewer, you know that's what you're going to brew. All you're going to be doing is, I can organize all of my IPA ingredients here. Now, two-row pale malt. Great, I'm done.
3 out of 4 taps at your house are going to be IPA.
Yeah. So, you know what? Actually, Beersmith's too good for you.
Yeah.
Don't even download it.
Well, download it and then buy it.
Tell somebody else who brews porters. About Beersmith, but you as an IPA brewer, don't even mention Brad's
name. One day you're going to get nostalgic for IPAs. It's going to happen. You're going to be, I remember them fondly.
Yeah, maybe. Mm. No, I'm just kidding. Brad's really great. Beersmith is really great.
I love that.
It's a good, it's a good little program. So check it out. And 21 days for free. That's pretty good.
21. That's
it could be 20, but it's not. It's 21. Go ahead, Warren, please.
I don't know if you know this, Jason.
Man, I fucking try not to know a whole lot.
Yeah. There is a whiskey collection that is up for auction right now.
Ooh.
That's estimated to be valued $5 million.
God,
and it's coming from one person. This one individual is selling their collection, and it's valued at $5
million. Wow.
It made me wonder, what's the most expensive beer that's ever been sold for auction? That one bottle... went for $500,000.
Is that from Epstein's collection?
It was a beer that was brewed for one of the first expeditions to Antarctica.
Okay.
And I guess it went and came back or something. Somehow they have a bottle that has been to Antarctica and came back.
First of all, I call that a failed expedition. If you have beer left over, it couldn't have been that hard.
They might have been busy surviving, but you know.
Yeah, but I don't know what that's because it can't be that hard. I mean, I've seen the HMS Terror on AMC. Like it was, you know, that shit was scary. There's a monster out there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Drink all you can.
Anyway, $500,000 for this one bottle of beer.
Okay, all right.
So it made me
wonder.
That's
a good Twitter game. Oh, you're not done.
Well, that's the Twitter game, you know? That's
I would it. Love it if we just made Twitter game shit beardy research.
Yeah, things I looked up before the show.
So, yeah, and that's it.
Yeah.
I just went to Mental Floss, and did you know there's a cat statue in the middle of the New York subway?
Clickbait's a real thing, guys.
I'm on the fifth picture. I'm clicking the next one.
How do I close it?
Sign in to view more.
Yeah. See that one they started with that I can't see.
So I want to know what piece of BN memorabilia will sell for $1 million 50 years from now.
Oh, God.
That's the Twitter game. Is it going to be your dumb blue glasses? Is it going to
dumb? Jiminy,
I don't know. It's the first thing I
thought.
Wow, dumb.
Those aren't new glasses.
They are. They're very
I've
nice.
I've had them for like 6 months.
Well, you haven't been in the studio for 6 months.
It's your first show back after you're seeing.
I've actually never been. Pull back the kimono, as Jamil would say. I actually just broadcast from my house. I'm not actually here. It's a hologram that you see if you watch YouTube or whatever.
We said we were going to talk about that.
Well,
Warren and I are the only ones here right now. Chad's not even here.
Why did you get a full body hologram to show us you're not wearing any pants?
I'm in Bermuda right now.
Shorts.
Yeah, both of my legs are actually penises. It's a weird, thing.
I don't even understand that.
Yeah, it's a weird look, man. All right, let's take a break, huh?
Please.
I need to take a breath.
Yeah, we've been going for a little bit and probably too long, but what are you going to do about
it? He's going to get
in trouble. Uh-oh. Check out this Michelob Ultra ad.
Yeah, let's just do the ad right now for everybody. Just piss everybody off right now.
If I could.
Cancel culture. Here we go.
Trust me, if I could play just that, I would do it for like an hour, just on repeat, a Michelob Ultra ad. I'm sure I could somewhere.
They've got to be out there on YouTube.
Yeah. All right, everybody, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back with our NHC medal winners. We're going to be chatting with Andy here first in just a second. It's the Brewing Network. I'm Jason. Hold on.
Session.
Because life's too short to listen to crappy radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Thanks for hanging out.
You're welcome.
Before, we have a full studio today, Warren.
We do. It's getting hot in here.
It's getting hot in here. So put on more clothes, please.
Yes. Bev was going to say something. She was about to steal your mic.
Was she?
I'm kind of curious.
Oh. What was she going to say?
Well, then you just got oddly close to him then. To
I was touching him with my freezing cold hands.
Oh, hell. Look, try not to be too jealous, Warren, okay?
Man.
It's getting hot in here.
It must be good sitting in the main seat over there.
Well, you know, man, it pays to be the guy. What are you doing? Why are you really going
to
pour water down my shirt?
Of course not.
He would do.
Thought about it.
I would have screamed, dude. I would have shrieked, probably.
Oh, yeah.
I would have shrieked.
Like a man.
And then I would have come out swinging. And that's when shit would have gotten real. Yeah. Cops would have called.
I mean, we had a camera right there. Everyone would have gotten a great shot.
Yeah.
It's not on.
You know that scene in The Predator where Mike Tyson finds the Predator?
Right.
Or what's not Mike Tyson? Who is it? Ronnie Dangerfield? He finds the Predator's like camp and it's like all the skulls and shit. That's what it would have looked like when the cops showed up. Had Bev poured that water down my shirt. Skulls
a
everywhere.
A bunch of skulls?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Now I don't trust her. No one with me.
You should.
Yeah, man, I would love to watch a Predator remake with Mike Tyson.
Oh yeah, is he the Predator?
And Roddy Dangerfield, to be honest with you, but
you know, aliens.
I think it's so good. He had the heat thinner. The Brewing Network will be teaming up with Sierra Nevada at their annual Hop Harvest Festival on October 19th. That's this year, everybody. That's next month, even.
What?
Featuring the freshest and most innovative hop-forward beers from more than 50 breweries. We'll be there all day, and Justin is moderating some killer panels with Terrence Sullivan and Ken Grossman. Got the old Kinster up there. That's cool.
Nice.
The fest itself is an invitational beer festival showcasing breweries from across the country and beyond, pouring their favorite hop-forward and special release offerings. Guests will have the opportunity to sample from more than 100 styles of beer and keep a commemorative sampling glass, plus live music, local food trucks, and a chance to hang with us, the Brewing Network.
That's the best part.
Whoa. That's the best part. It's a chance. You get a chance. It's not guaranteed.
Right. Yeah.
It might happen. It might not happen.
We're going to be there for 30 seconds.
I don't actually know. Yeah. It's like that scene in Bruno.
Which one? Oh, yeah.
Like, where it's like, we're going to interview Harrison Ford. And he just walks by going, fuck off. That's going to be it. But we're going to be confined to our 10x10 booth.
Okay.
And we're going to be walking from one point to the other, just muttering, fuck off.
In and out?
Yeah.
Oh, back and forth.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think it's funny that both films that you've referenced have had giant penises in them.
It's, why do you know that?
It's true.
Because I've had the misfortune of seeing them.
Her husband made her watch it.
Uh-huh.
Bruno's pretty good. You know what that reminds me of? It's like that scene. No. early access tickets are available, and you get into the festival 1 hour prior to general admission for just $75. For more information and for tickets, visit SierraNevada.com and come join us at the Hop Harvest Festival on October 19th. I really hope they make you pick hops to get in. Like, you need to have...
Yeah, like, that's not enough.
Yeah. We're going to weigh your sack, and if it's not 4 pounds, you're not...
Sorry.
You're not coming in.
4 pounds dry, not wet.
That's go right. Back. Yeah, this is,
sorry, Vinny, you have to go back and pick some more.
Oh, shucks, Ken. But just let me, imagine that's what Vinny would apologize to Ken for.
Oh, shucks.
Oh, shucks. Oh, darn it.
Yeah, that sounds like him.
1955 at the ball shop.
Yeah. Anyway, like I said, I'm a little nervous. I'm surrounded by so many medal winners from the NHC. Let me go around the room here. First of all, we have Andy, who is on Skype, who is too cheap to fly out here. Are you there, man?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's up, Andy? Yeah, I got you, man. I got you. Awesome. Andy won a gold medal in the NHC for American Pale Ale.
I mean, it's all right.
And before I even, get to everybody else in the room, it was a fucking session IPA. He's a liar.
That's why he didn't send it in.
Yeah, he was on Dr. Homebrew. We had him on Dr. Homebrew like 2 months ago.
Oh, so you did get to have the beer.
I tasted the beer. Look, it's a good beer.
Yeah.
But it's a session IPA, Andy, and you know that.
Oh, shit.
That's not what the judges said.
Yeah, you got me, dude. And then we have Justin here, who won a gold in Baltic Porter.
Yep.
And you sent 3 bottles out, too, unlike Andy.
Taste them, yeah.
If it's an IPA, I swear to God.
I'd be grateful for
that. Love it.
It's a hazy Baltic Porter.
God, I would love that so much. Just 100 IBU Baltic Porter.
And it's clear.
What, 5 SRM?
I have on my notes pale, but I can't read my own writing, and I'm sure I really meant to write Paul.
He's also a little pale.
That's your new name, Paul.
Yeah.
Pale.
Our good friend Pale Brown.
Pale Brown.
Who, oddly enough, entered a Pale Brown ale.
And it's an IPA.
Yeah. Huh. Paul Brown won a bronze in German Hef.
Where's Fluffy?
That's, I don't know. I don't even know what to say to that. German Hefeweizen, it sounds like a very hard style to nail down. So I'm excited to talk to you about that.
Thank you.
And then also from Club Dose, Jordan won a gold for fruit beer.
Yes. It was actually a pale session IPA with a Brett infection.
Fuck.
Congratulations.
You are a home brewer. Well, yeah. You're a true home brewer. And then, of course, Matt from Danville Brewing Company. Matt's here. Matt Sager, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. We're going to talk to you about collaboration beers because you brewed a collab with Paul Brown.
Nice to meet you, Brown.
Oh, yeah. Good to have you.
This is my friend Pale Brown. Anyway, Andy, let's start with you, man. Gold for American Pale Ale. Were you at NHC? Did you freak out, or you were just you didn't make it?
I did go, actually.
Oh, really?
I got to be there, which was pretty cool.
Hell yeah,
in
dude!
On Skype.
Yeah, right. He Skyped into the award.
Yeah, someone was holding an iPad with him and just walking across.
He's in a facility 3 miles under the ground.
That's the whole thing.
Yes, I was there.
I actually can't make it out. I'm too fragile. My system will implode. So remind me now, American Pale Ale. Have you been working on that recipe before, or was this something that you just threw together and you're like, well, I like pale ales that are really IPAs. Should I just enter that?
I kind of have a base recipe that I had been using for a while, and I just tweaked the hops a little bit and changed a couple things. And I usually enter it in both IPA and pale ale, which just so happens that this one was a better pale ale than an IPA.
Of course.
Yeah. Is that
smart strategy, though.
Have you entered competitions before, NHC specifically? I mean, regional competitions or whatever, but this is the big boys, right? This is the National Homebrew Competition at HomebrewCon, Warren.
What?
Don't ever call it anything else other than HomebrewCon.
That's what NHC stands
I've entered,
for, right?
I entered the last couple of years, and I made it to the finals. But this is the first year I got the medal.
Okay. And you took gold. You didn't even medal. You, dunked on everybody.
I know. After I saw the bronze and the silver, I was like, oh, it's over. And then flashed up there. I was like, oh, all right.
That really is the thing. I mean, the few times I've made it to the second round, you go, oh, well, if I have a chance, it's the bronze. And then you go, well, maybe. maybe I'm lucky enough that I get the silver, and then you don't win that, and then you just go stand in line for more beer.
I'll be right back, and you never come back. Yeah.
One of the times I got a medal, I was already standing up because when third got called and I didn't get anything, I was getting up to go get a beer.
See,
and then my name got called. Yeah. I was already standing up. I'm like, oh, wow, I just look like the biggest asshole.
I totally planned that.
Yeah. Or you had advance notice.
I was the biggest asshole.
That's true.
Or just a glass half empty kind of guy.
That is true. Well, Andy, do me a favor, man. Do you have your recipe in front of you? Maybe we can kind of chat about that a little bit and talk some process with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, man.
So this was the same beer that I sent into you guys on Dr. Homebrew.
Hell yeah.
It was, let's see, about 20% pale wheat malt, and then about, let's see, 4%. Caramel 40, and then the rest was 2-row and acidulated malt. And then I used Warrior hops to bitter, and then Citra and Mosaic at 5 minutes, and then a bunch of Citra Cryo, Idaho 7, and Mosaic Cryo in the Whirlpool.
Oh, wow. That's the powder?
Yeah.
The powder stuff, right?
Well, it comes in pellets, but it's super concentrated without all the leafy material.
Okay.
And then dry hopped with some Vic Secret, Mosaic, Citra, and Idaho 7.
Damn.
At 40% crystal, that's solidly not a West Coast pale.
No, 4%.
Oh, 4%.
Oh. Yeah.
Warren hears as well as you see.
Yeah. I was just going to be.
Definitely not 40.
I was just going to be very impressed that the judging. Preferences have swung that far.
Can you imagine? Especially because I've been sitting here going, it was a session IPA.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a 40% crystal 40 malt or whatever it is?
Sounds awful.
That's the secret. That's the secret to winning a gold medal, everybody.
Yeah. It takes you back to 1998.
Yeah.
So
I used White Labs San Diego Super Yeast.
Okay. Yeah, that's a churner, dude. That's a good beer.
Yeah,
it's a good yeast.
It was right on the borderline, so it was on the high side of the pale ale category, but it did fit, for the record.
Alcohol?
And, low side of the IPA.
For alcohol-wise, or what are you talking about?
Yeah, alcohol-wise, okay. Bitterness, everything kind of fell at the very, very top end of the pale ale.
Yeah, I do remember talking about this on Dr. Homebrew, and which is why I'm glad you're able to join us today, because it was one of those beers where we didn't know what it should be in. It was very riding the line. How did you determine to enter it as a pale ale?
I entered it as both.
Okay.
A couple competitions. I entered it in a few competitions beforehand to kind of gauge where it should be.
Okay.
And it actually won the Dixie Cup. It won gold in the IPA category. And then Quaff's competition, I sent it out there for, I think it's America's Finest City, I think is the competition's name.
Okay.
And it won gold for Pale Ale. So I just entered it in both categories, and it... I expected it to do better in the IPA, but it moved on in the pale ale.
So funny how that works.
Yeah, you expected IPA. So that the results that you were getting from the other comps that you entered, you were sort of doing like crowd testing, like
focus group.
Yeah,
focus
yeah,
group.
Yeah, kind of putting some feelers out there on where to enter it. And okay, you know.
Is that common? Did anybody else do that in the room? Did you guys sort of enter other competitions to see what kind of sticks?
No. Yeah,
Justin's like, no, man, I don't know.
I just win.
I always send out little competitions, and if it doesn't do good in a smaller competition, it's like, I'll scratch it for NHC or something.
Okay.
Early on with my kettle sours, it was like, do I enter this as a, you know, American wild ale, or, you know, people in the club were saying no, probably fruit beer. One competition I entered a different beer in, but it was very similar. They actually moved it themselves from fruit beer into one of these provisional.
Oh, really?
Katarina Sour.
Okay.
Yeah. Category.
Yeah, that's like the kind of the new.
So they didn't disqualify it. They were just like, let's move them over here.
That's very nice of them. Yeah. That's very homebrew. Yeah.
And that comp, I got like a third place for it. So I was like, okay, thank you.
Huh. Wow.
Paul, I can't think of any other category that you'd put a Hefeweizen into. Well, like, this couldn't be a.
Not with that beer.
Yeah.
In general.
It's a hazy IPA or a Hefeweizen.
It's a terrible
hazy
IPA.
Banana.
New England
fruit
wheat
beer.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah.
So you had 20% wheat in that thing, Andy?
Yeah, 20% wheat. That's kind of like the base I do for my a lot of my IPAs and pale ales. Mostly IPAs because it's not really a pale ale, I guess. But
see, you admitted it though, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, it's when I go out and get a pale ale, I don't expect what I made to be served to me. But
you know what? It fucking is all the time.
It is.
I'm very mad about that. It's very. But so you don't find that the wheat did it cloud it up or was it clear? I honestly can't remember the beer.
It was pretty clear. Okay. I used gelatin.
You weren't worried
in
the about
keg,
it.
And it cleared up pretty well after a couple, probably like a week or two.
Yeah.
It was pretty clear, but it gives it really nice head. Okay. And probably a little mouthfeel too.
Yeah. I would have used like Carapils or something like that. Did you try any of those adjuncts and just say, well, forget about it. I'll just use wheat because why not?
I got it from Modern Times because they post some of their recipes online and some of their pale ales and IPAs use it. So that's why I kind of started doing it and never really tried anything else.
Okay. And you had good success. So why change it?
Yeah. I mean, I like the way it came out. So
yeah.
Have you done much experimenting with cryo hops before this?
Yeah, I actually use that quite a bit and more so recently. Which I found that if you use only cryo hops, it doesn't come out as well as you would think. So I kind of mix it in there sparingly, mostly in the whirlpool or in the dry hop.
Mm-hmm. Cryo hops in the whirlpool, the dry hop. So you find that the extraction of the kind of leafy vegetable matter leaves something to be.
Well, it just was like I can't even really explain it. I made an all cryo hop beer, and it was just kind of missing something.
Okay. I did get to crash an episode of Hop and Brew School where we talked about this specific issue where if you use 100% cryo hops, what the YCH guys say is that it lacks kind of like a hop bite. And so you don't get just like that assertive kind of bitter character.
Is it a tannin thing?
Kind of like there's a whole lot of different compounds. There's esters, there's tannins, there's phenols in that vegetal matter that they're removing.
Yeah.
And so if it turns out you need a little bit of that to have a well-balanced hoppy beer.
Okay.
And so you can't just strip that all away.
Yeah.
You need to have a little bit. And so I think the ratio that Blaze recommended was something like.
What's Blaze?
Blaze is the guy that we talked to. He's their director of innovation.
Yakima
Chief.
All right.
And I think he said something like.
Was he taking a break from being on America Warrior?
Or? He was so high. Yeah. He was so
Blaze!
High.
It's not the guy from American Warrior, right?
Oh, American Gladiators.
American Gladiators. Yeah,
yes,
yeah. Same thing, dude.
Yeah, I almost knew what you meant.
Right. I almost got it right.
Yeah. He said one pound to 4 pounds.
What is that?
Like you need at least like 1 to 1.5 pounds of actual whole cone regular
hops. Right.
Regular T90 hops
to four
up to 4 pounds of cryo hops.
Got it. Okay, just to kind of weave some of that structure in that we kind of
right. It's like using a harsh tincture versus like the real seed or whatever.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Andy, you said you were messing around with those or not. You just kind of went for it sounds like you're doing everything, but you're ruining my show.
I had been messing around with them, but initially the selection was kind of, there wasn't a whole lot of choices.
Okay.
I think there was like one or two different ones you could get. And now they're starting to really, you got like 6 or 7 that you can get on the homebrew level.
Damn.
I'm sure you can get, pretty much anything on the professional level, but on the small side, it was hard to find.
Okay. It's like weed, man. Once they come
it's
out
not that
it.
Hard to find anymore.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
Yeah. Come on, Warren.
Sorry.
Vibe with me, bro.
I'm trying to get on your level.
Thanks, man.
It's been a while.
Yeah. What about, were you worried about packaging? Let's talk about packaging for a second. Like, how you bottle these beers? Did you do anything differently than you would if you were just, you know, racking off a six pack to bring to your friend's house or something? Or did you treat it anything differently?
Yeah, I mean, I usually only bottle if I'm sending it to a competition. I'll just, you know, pull a growler or something off the tap if I'm taking it somewhere. But I have a beer gun, and it works, you know, pretty great from what I can tell. Pretty good results. And just, you know, purge the shit out of the bottles with CO2 and fill them up. And I always try to send them off last minute, you know, just so it's controlled for as long as possible. But, you know, you got to ship them, and it's going to do what it's going to do.
Yeah, you're not, I guess what I'm trying to ask is, you're not concerned about storage on their end. You kind of just leave it up to, you can only do so much. There's only so much you can control, and that's the brewing, the fermentation, the sanitation, the packaging, and the shipping. Everything else is sort of like up to chance.
Yep.
And you can't prevent that. Okay. You don't ice pack it or any weird shit like that.
No, I buy the there's bottle shippers, so just so I don't worry about them breaking and that kind of stuff. I find it easier instead of trying to scrounge up boxes and papers and packing everything together. They make it's made for sending bottles, so they fit right in there, and you can ship it off. You don't have to worry about it.
All right. What do you say your key to success? If you had to give one piece of advice. The home brewers out there.
To your other competition.
Yeah. Besides all the good feedback you got from Dr. Homebrew, I mean, that's one right there.
You didn't influence the recipe of the beer, but I wouldn't have gone to the ceremony if I hadn't gotten the feedback from them, because I didn't think I had a chance. So
hell yeah.
The only reason I went to NHC was because of the feedback I got. So I am thankful for that.
Hey, well, you're welcome. When you mean them, I'm assuming you just mean me and not the other guys.
Well, you were just talking trash about how it was a IPA, so.
Actually, you know what? I'm offended. I would never do that.
That doesn't sound like him at all.
Yeah. I'd say probably the best piece of advice that's helped me the most is I'm a analytical brewer, I guess, where I take really detailed notes. So the next time I brew, I can change the one thing that I wanted to change, and then see what that does to it. And then, you know, you do that several times, and you can really get it just the way you want it. You know, a lot of, you know, in the homebrew club, you know, guys just like to brew and they have fun, and that's great. And, you know, I'm just kind of not wired that way. So
you don't like fun.
They'll just go brew, and they'll, you know, they'll mess something up. They'll have no idea why the beer is bad. And the next time the same thing will happen is because, you know, they didn't write anything down or remember what they did. So.
Bro,
I'd say keep good notes.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, I'm kind of the same way, and I always tell the story about when I was working on More Beer. My friend, old John Plisse, right?
Oh yeah.
You know, when he started homebrewing, he was like, "I'm going to make a beer with using every grain."
Every grain.
And back then, it wasn't like as many grains as we have now. Because just got our supply chain wasn't three. As big or whatever. Yeah, there was three, and two of them were two row. Mm. No, but it was like 25 grains. And I'm like, it's going to taste like ass, dude. It's going to be, and it did.
It was
not good at all. But it was a good learning experience. And like Andy's saying, he took notes. But you can't use those notes where you're going to change one grain and, you know, swap it out and make it taste good. But there's something to be said for taking notes and trying to figure it out.
Sure.
At least. Are you going to change anything about this recipe, Andy, or are you going to brew it again?
I brewed it again a little while ago, and I used some of the hops I got at the conference. I used some Sabro hops from, I don't know who was handing them out, but I got a bunch of them, and they're very strange.
Those are crazy hops.
They've got like this coconut, like in small amounts, it's coconut and it's awesome. But if you use too much, it gets this kind of like funky cheese coconut taste, and it did not come out well.
That's a cheese coconut.
Man, the flavors.
Yeah, nothing takes me back to the islands more than fondue coconut.
Sounds I think I just delicious. Used too much. I think if I had used about half as much as I did, it would have been really nice.
Yeah. Well, that's where your notes come in, right?
Right. Don't add the cheese
absolutely.
Next time.
Yeah, get the cheese out of there. All right, Andy. Well, look, man, I know you're a busy guy. Let me let you go.
I have a question for him.
Paul Brown has a question for you.
Pale Brown.
Yeah, sure.
Pale Brown. Pale Brown.
How many times between first round and second round did you rebrew that beer?
Good question.
That one, just once.
So just once. One rebrew.
Yep, so I brewed it, and then the only thing I tweaked for the second one was because the first one I brewed is an IPA, and then I entered it in all those competitions and got the feedback and entered it in the first round, and it went on as a pale ale, and I was kind of bummed. I was like, oh man, I thought this was a really good IPA, but it moved on as a pale ale. So when I rebrewed it,
weird.
I just took down the IBUs a little bit and actually acidified it a little more to bring down the pH, which I think helped some of the hops shine.
Wow, okay, so this wasn't just necessarily your first round recipe.
No, I tweaked it just a little bit.
That's crazy.
I mean, it was basically all the hops were the same.
Yeah.
The grain bill was the same. I decreased the initial bittering charge of Warrior that I had, and then increased the Whirlpool and dry hops.
You know what's crazy to me is it, just trying to recall this beer, how close it was to an IPA that beer that you had more hops in the beer that actually moved on as a pale ale. Like
definitely.
That seems crazy to me. I don't know what's happening.
It was less bitter, though. It was less bitter. Yeah.
What did you lower the IBUs to? Did you say that?
I think it was at 55, per the calculation.
Okay. Is that even, the BJCP is just a guideline, but like, is that even in the range that they say for pale ale?
I'd have to go back and look. I think it's close.
Because I think 50 is the low cutoff for IPA.
So
yeah,
fail.
And to be honest, I got sick.
Take it away.
Yeah,
Paul's going to come take your medal away.
Yeah.
Andy.
Yeah. To be honest, I got sick of losing in the best of show round because I enter a lot of competitions and I would always lose in the best of show with these beers that were like right in the middle of the style. And I was like, man, this is perfect. And I send it. It goes to the best of show and it's like, yeah, blah. I get beat out. So I was like, I'm going to do something that's going to stand out one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. They're the wrath of the mini best of show.
Yeah.
There's much to be said for judge palate fatigue, and so you need to
stand out.
You need to stand out in a good way.
I probably got lucky with position in the flight or something. I don't know, but I didn't expect to win. So,
well, I didn't expect you to win. I'll be clear. No, I mean, I remember the beer was a very good beer. Very, very often. Obviously, we get sent beer, but it's not often that we get one where you go like, I would actually pay for this. I would actually buy this beer and like drink a whole like thing of it.
Yeah, that was one.
Yeah, it was a very good beer.
Nice.
I haven't had a session IPA in a long time, but that one was a good one.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think it fits in the modern style of pale ale very well.
Yeah, and that's what Brian and Brian were saying. It is a very modern, current sort of take on an American pale ale. And then you're right. I basically bitched for 20 minutes about that.
It's not a Sierra Nevada pale ale, for sure.
No, it's definitely not.
If you made it 40% crystal malt, you might be getting close.
That's true. That's true. And give it to me 6 weeks old, please. Yeah. I would appreciate that. All right, Andy, I'm going to let you go, man. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to drink the beer from these other guys and chat them up a little bit. But I know you're busy. You got a lot of stuff going on. I really appreciate you taking the time, man.
Congratulations.
I appreciate having me on. Thanks a lot, guys.
Nice. Thanks, work. Dude. All right. Wait. He's probably like, really? I fucking stayed up for that?
Good thing I didn't fly there.
That's right. I have no idea.
Livermore.
Actually, yeah, I have no idea. He's actually
just too far.
Yeah. He's actually renting a room from me. Didn't want to wake him up.
Is he a very busy guy? Is he a doctor or something like that? Or... I mean, I'm just asking.
Is he saving lives? What's more important?
I don't know. You want to call him back and find out?
Let's get him on the phone for another 20 minutes.
Andy, what are you doing? All right. We're going to take a break, everybody, and mainly because we have beers to pour. So
Bev is slow at pouring beers, so we need to take a break.
Oh, you're number one, Warren, apparently.
Yeah, you won't be getting your beer.
Yeah. Bev not only flipped you off, but then kept her middle finger out to count the people in the studio.
Everyone else got sloppy seconds.
To keep flipping you off. Oh, yeah.
And then I came back around and flipped you off one more time.
No. Oh. Well, good thing I wasn't even looking.
Because you're a jerk and you can pour your own beer.
Wow. Damn.
At least it won't get on my lap or the floor or anywhere else.
And it'll be carbonated. All right.
Love you.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with more NHC Metal Talk. We're going to be talking about beers. I believe we're just going to jump right into this Baltic Porter, Justin, because...
Bring it.
I'm ready for it.
All right,
everybody. It's the session. Hang on, and, you know, we'll be right back.
Hey, motherfucker. This is Doug from fucking Society. You're listening to the session on the fucking Bruin Network. Fuck you.
Hey, welcome everybody. Thanks for hanging out.
You're still welcome.
You know, well, look, we're doing... Hi, Beth. Hi.
I'm trying to be out of the camera shot, and I'm just not.
Yeah, yeah.
She's got water in her other hand.
And a broken bottle.
I love that Bev likes to lean in facing the person she's leaning around rather than facing away. I will hug you. It's fine. Yep. But that's for our Patreon subscribers.
Here's up-podcast.com
where you can watch Beverly and I hugging on live stream.
Go to bed, Ryan.
24 hours a day. 24 hours a day. We just have fun here on the Bruin Network, guys.
Oh, that's what we're having?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to find a stupid live read. Now here it is. All right. I don't know who owns a brewery with a number in their name, because then I can't find it. I can't find it. I'm looking alphabetically going, I don't know, man.
Starts with T.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but so, you know, somebody had to. I can't find the live read I'm supposed to do.
For what?
I can't find it. For your boy. All right, whatever. Anyway, we were talking about beers that I have in my fridge. Spark Ale is one of them from the 21st Amendment Brewing Company in San Francisco and San Leandro.
Sully, have you had Spark Ale yet?
I've had that a few times. You want me to talk about it?
Yeah, please do. It is a great beer. Honestly, you should buy it. It's year round now, right?
That's correct.
Which I love the fact that it's going to be November soon, which will mean it'll dip below 70 occasionally out here.
Chilly.
And you can still drink Spark Ale.
Oh, yeah.
I appreciate it. Taryn loves it. Not that it's a chick beer.
No.
But, like, it's just six-pack after six-pack after six-pack.
Mm.
It's a good
beer. It's a hybrid between a beer and a cider.
There you go.
And it's actually, it's crafted to reduce gluten, so it's less than 20 parts per million. So, but we can't say that on the package, because it would take a lot of labeling requirements and testing and all that. I don't want to go into that too much, though.
No.
I
wouldn't want you to.
Yeah, it's a nice, refreshing beverage.
Any
hops in there?
There's a little bit of hops, but that's fairly negligible. You don't really taste it, so.
Mm. What hop?
I think it's Magnum. Pellet. I think it's Magnum. I think it is about one pellet.
So did you brew a batch without it and goes like, it needs something, or?
Well, it's a little bit, I mean, if you want to get into it, outside
not
the
really.
Spot.
anyway.
Check out, it's at local Safeways and Lenardi Markets.
Yeah, it's available in Safeway.
And you get double points with your Chase Rewards card.
Yeah.
No, but honestly, I do kind of want to know.
It's technically a beer, so you have to brew it as such a beer. So
okay.
That's why.
As such a beer.
Yeah.
All right.
Usually just Justin reads these things.
Yeah.
I know, but I wanted to know.
Like, where's Beverly? Bring her back. Try to hug her again.
Beverly, come here. Let's hug.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Hey, do me a favor. There's too many guys in the studio. Would you do me a favor and turn the fucking air conditioning down again, please? Thank you. I turned it up, and then I realized it. Now it's very warm.
You actually adjusted it to where it would get hotter in here?
Well, it was set for 68, and that was a little too much. When, like, half of the people were out using the restroom, I'm like, it's very cold in here.
Ugh.
And then now we're, you know, very excited to be in the studio. Our blood pressure is up. And
are you new to thermostat management? Come on.
I don't know. I don't know, man.
You never turned it down when I lived at your house. It was like 85 degrees in there. And you had one fan for the whole house.
Well, you're a walking sweater, so I just wanted to make you uncomfortable.
You do have a sweater.
Oh, yeah. We did cuddle a lot.
That's true. We sure did. Justin.
Yep.
How's it going, man?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for. Where did you come from? Where are you?
He's here right now.
I mean, existentially, like mentally, where are you?
Yeah, mentally. Yeah. I'm here. But okay. I flew in from Maryland.
From Maryland. You came from Maryland.
Whoa. I did. Yeah, flew in this morning.
Boy, what is wrong with you?
I don't know.
You got a lot of miles you needed to use up before your card cycles. Yeah.
I'm glutton for punishment.
What Jason's trying to say is welcome, friend.
I feel so welcome.
I already welcomed him before. Now it's like we're family. It's like this is like Olive Garden, right? It's the Olive
it's
Garden.
The Greek
for
Olive Garden.
That's right. It's the feta garden. I don't know. When you hear your family, let me shave you. I don't know.
Have a Euro.
Well, thanks for coming in.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, man. And you sent your beer. You sent three bottles of your gold medal winning Baltic Porter.
That's right. Yep. Baltic Porter.
You're crazy. Is it a favorite style of yours? Why Baltic Porter? Well, nobody brews Baltic Porter.
I know. That's though, right? Yeah, that's kind of why I went for it.
Okay. Is it really? Was that a strategy?
Yeah, I think so. Hunting? Yeah, I...
Wow. Sully put a dirty word on it.
Nice. Yeah.
Metal hunting.
Yeah.
No. Is that okay? Is that a bad thing to say?
I don't know, man.
No, not really. I actually don't enter competitions a whole lot. Okay. I did last year. I did entered in for a Helles export beer.
Ah. Yeah,
took second. So well,
you got a silver last year for a hell. Damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
But I feel like sort of my wheelhouse is lagers, so I try to go something that I haven't brewed before. So I've never brewed this one. This was sort of a one-off.
Yeah.
Didn't enter in any competitions prior to this, and just I guess got lucky. Took second in the first round.
Okay. So, wow.
I was pretty shocked that I got like first place, and
that had to feel good though. At some point, like you've never done it before. I mean,
and there's
not a whole lot of commercial examples of Baltic Porter out there.
That's right. Yeah, I tried to find some commercial examples, and there's really not a whole lot. So just try to do a little bit of Google searching. You know, figure out what kind of recipes are out there, and just kind of mashed together several different recipes that I'd found, and kind of just for based off my experience, you know, what kind of grains taste good together, and just kind of made it up.
How long have you been homebrewing?
Since 2001, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, so all right. 18 years.
You're an old-timer. You've been at it for a while.
I have, yeah. Started with a more beer kit. Belgian double.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was, that kind of got me hooked.
Yeah, that's a big beer to start with. I mean, you imagine your first homebrew was a Belgian double?
Well, let me step it back. I guess my first beer was a Mr. Beer kit.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, wife got me that for...
Quit lying to us,
yeah,
Justin.
Already, I don't believe a fucking word.
Actually, this is a Mr. Beer kit. I just...
My name is actually Roger, and I'm from down the street.
Right.
This is a safe space.
Right. Baltic, yeah. I mean, my first homebrew was a fucking brown ale that sucked. Like
You too?
Yeah, you cracked the thing. Like, I cracked the cap, and like a foot and a half geyser came out of the thing.
That was supposed to happen.
It was bad.
Mm.
I mean, it was funky.
I started out kegging, but my first homebrew was a brown ale also. So we have that in common.
There you go.
So was mine. Friends.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You are becoming more and more like Kim.
Yeah. Remember when you said you weren't Kim?
Yeah. All right, Shimke.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, let me drink this beer here for a second, because I haven't even had it yet. It's been in front of us for a little bit.
So it is a lagered Baltic Porter, because doesn't that style get lagered and also treated like an ale sometimes?
Yeah, this one's lagered. It's lager yeast. It's definitely lagered. I lagered it at 52, I think, was the fermentation.
Hey, we believe you. We believe you, Justin.
Well, Warren doesn't. So.
Right. I'm making sure.
His beard is judging you.
Tighten the bolts on this guy.
So you can have some, or technically it's supposed to be lagered, but just like anything, you get some people entering an ailed, quote-unquote, Baltic Porter.
Yeah, because, I mean, if the lore of the style goes, the romanticized version, is that it was just a strong porter brewed in the UK, sent to Russia, and so it got lagered on its trip through the Baltic Sea.
You know, we need Mitch Steele to research Baltic Porter now. He already debunked the IPA myths.
Yeah.
Let's get that guy on the phone here.
So that's why people say, oh, well, if you do it as an ale, then you just lager it, cold condition it after, that's more true to style.
It's more true to style than a lager yeast. All right. What did you do, Justin?
I used lager yeast.
You used lager yeast,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, see, there you go. I'm trusting the gold medal winner. I don't care what the Brits say.
I tend to like actual lagered versions better than ale versions.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, it's definitely smoother, which is a stupid thing to say because it's a lager. Of course, it's going to be smoother. Mm-hmm. Is that accurate?
I think so.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I guess I don't know if I've ever had an ale Baltic porter though.
I was just wondering. I don't know if I've
get on that. Get on that microphone.
I don't know if I've had enough to compare a ale fermented Baltic porter versus a lager.
Yeah, I mean, just because there's not a whole
there's
lot.
So few out there, right?
There's so few out there, but I know we've gotten some on Dr. Homebrew that are ale, and they do kind of have a harsher thing. This is a very smooth beer.
Yeah.
Is this so? You said you didn't rebrew it. You just brewed the one batch,
right?
And you let it go.
Yeah.
Were you worried about sort of the flavor drop off between the first and second round?
No, not really. I think this is kind of a style you want to age a little bit.
Okay.
And at least from from my experience just with lagers, that they get kind of better over time. And, and I brewed this last October, actually, so this is almost 11 months. Still the same beer. Yeah.
Damn. How old was it when you... I don't want to do the math. I'm just going to ask you to do it. How old is it when you entered in the first round?
6 months.
Okay. That sounds about right to me. Yeah, you're right. I'm just checking his facts.
Right.
Yeah.
Smart. Yeah. This guy's a liar over here.
Let's trip him up.
It's true.
Fire off some questions quickly.
Yeah, that was my gotcha question, and he passed. So now I don't know where to go with it.
Do you leave it in the keg and just bottle these as the competition comes up?
That's right. Okay. Yeah, it's just all straight keg.
Okay.
Yeah, no bottle conditioned.
How much do you brew at a time?
I brew 10-gallon batches, so I got two 5-gallon. Actually, the other batch I did enter as toasted coconut to this, and entered that into it was toasted coconut and oak cubes.
Oh.
So I entered it as a barrel age, but I think the coconut threw it off, so it didn't even clear the first round, but. It was interesting.
That sounds good, dude. I was just looking at Matt. I was like, that sounds like something Matt would brew.
Yeah. I think it was one of the sort of the entering in the wrong category type of thing.
Yeah.
But
that'll trip you up, man.
Yeah. I mean, it turned out really good. I think I over coconutted that thing. I mean, it was good.
Is there such a thing?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like
he did it.
Yeah.
It wasn't at the level of like suntan lotion, but it was pretty coconutty.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And that combo, you think, just kind of threw it off?
I think so.
From the barrel age category?
Yeah, yeah.
What would you have done it? What would you have entered in had
you thought about
it again?
Yeah, I don't know. I struggle with where to put it. Specialty?
Do they not have a coconut category? Not yet? Because in professional comps, there is a coconut category.
No, there's not.
Yeah.
Fruit beer.
Is there?
I've seen it. I think the U.S. Beer Open, I think, has a coconut category.
Soon.
You're telling me there's a coconut category.
I think in the U.S. Beer Open, which
I'm
is both
looking.
Pro and
bless you,
homebrew,
US
I think there is a coconut
beer Open
or category.
Coconut. I'm gonna look because I don't believe you. I don't believe you at all.
Are we talking about the Baltic border?
Yeah. No. Now we're accusing Warren of lying.
Yeah.
But I can't find it, so
I'm right.
A bottle of coconut.
Yeah,
it's a good beer, man. This is I love this beer.
It's
go ahead, Warren. Sorry,
I was going to ask what the ABV is on it.
Yeah, so it's 9.4. I got
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
Justin's trying to have sex with all of us tonight, right now.
I think I got dinged a little bit for some sort of alcohol heat. You know, coming through some of the comments. I think it definitely over attenuated.
Meaning they liked it.
Yeah, I was shooting for more like 8.8. It definitely over attenuated a little bit.
Yeah.
It ended up at 9.4.
That's really good, man. And it's that sort of slow build in the malt flavor, right? It starts off kind of subtle. Smooth, you know, very much lagered, and then the roasted grains kind of come through, and then that little bit of alcohol comes through at the end. It's just this weird kind of 45-degree angle curve that I get in my brain.
Water treatment or anything like that?
I did RO water. It's kind of soft. I mean, I think I went for just sort of like a German Helles, I think, is kind of the target water profile that I used.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
That's an excellent beer.
How do you think it's aging now that it's almost a year old and you've gotten to try it?
Pretty good. Yeah, I think it was a little rough at first, you know, just sort of being sort of a big and bold, you know, roasty beer. But
were you a little nervous entering even the first round at it? Because, I mean, that's 6 months at a 9% beer, even though it's lagered. Like, that still had to be a little more pointy.
It was a little rough around this. The edges. Yeah, yeah, for sure. But by the time the final round rolled around, you know, it was a few months later.
Perfect.
Yeah, it was right. Hitting its strides.
Would you say that's sort of the time frame you would recommend if someone wanted to enter a Baltic Porter, like 6 months first round, and then you're probably good to go through the second?
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
you wouldn't change your timeline at all?
I don't think so. No, when I brewed it, I was kind of had the NHC in mind for entering this in a competition. I just kind of planning ahead. It's like, well, you know, it's going to need some time to age. And that's kind of why I brewed it in October.
Yeah.
Just to get it done.
Were you a little nervous about the ABV?
I was a little bit, yeah. Again, it was a little rough at first, especially. But yeah, I think it's definitely mellowed a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about the ABV. How big of a brew system do you have? Are you working with?
I'm brewing off of like a 15 gallon kettle.
You had that pretty friggin' full.
It was,
the mash tun or the.
Yeah, the boiler.
Yeah. I batched barge, and I mean, it was like sloshing out of the.
9% on a 15.
It was maxed out for sure. Yeah, I couldn't go any bigger than that. Yeah.
A DME, man. There's always room. There's always a way to figure it out.
Well, there's a little bit of brown sugar in there. So.
Oh, there is. Okay. Oh,
yeah.
Actually, you want to hit us with the recipe, and we'll let me
pull up my crib notes here.
All right.
So you're going to brew it again next month.
Next year.
Anniversary
coming up.
Yeah. It's about time. All right. So it's 65% Pilsner. I've got 15% Dark Munich in there. 6.5% of Golden Naked Oats. I love that stuff from Simpsons.
I do too.
It's fantastic. 4% pale chocolate. That's an old Jamil throwback. He's always recommended pale chocolate's
the best, dude. I took all of my normal chocolate out of my like oatmeal stout and just pale chocolate.
That's made a huge difference in all of my dark beers. For
yeah,
sure.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, I got 2.5% Cara Munich, 2% roasted barley, and then like I said, I've got 5% of light brown sugar that I added at the last 15 minutes of the boil.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about the hops?
Hops are all Magnum up front. I did first wort hops around 35%.
That's sort of an old school, IBU. New schooler sort of homebrew thing, right? I don't really hear a lot of people talk about first wort hopping anymore, but it was very late 90s, early
it's been
aughts.
A while since I've last done it,
What made you do it with a Baltic Porter? I
mean. You know, I don't know. I just kind of on a whim.
You're being a weird guy in your brewery?
Yeah, it's like, I'll give it a shot. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I really don't know why I did it. But
Do you do it before? Like, are there other recipes you do that with? And you thought that would be a good thing to carry over? Or it was just, it sounds like, and tell me if I'm wrong, is what that classic homebrewer. I kind of want to do this. I'm just going to go ahead and just experiment and just do it.
It was mostly just kind of experiment, just to fuck around with it.
All right. Whoa, language, please.
Oh, sorry.
We don't say that shit.
Dick around with it. I'm sorry.
Okay, fair enough.
And then I've got Sterling at a Whirlpool for 20 minutes.
Okay.
A little bit of like 6 IBU for Sterling. Just to kind of give it some floral character at the end. And then for the yeast, I actually brewed a Oktoberfest, or not really an Oktoberfest, sort of just a fest beer before and repitched the yeast. But I've got two different yeast strains. I've got White Labs Southern German Lager, the 838, and then the 833 German Bock. So I did a fest beer before that and then repitched on top of that.
Okay.
Because I knew it was going to be a big beer. I needed a lot of yeast. So I just decided to brew a test batch first of just something kind of easy drinking and repitched on that.
Yeah. Why the yeast blend? Is that something you worked with before?
So the Southern German Lager I used last year in my Helles that took second. I really liked the way it turned out, but I wanted something a little more malty. So I chose the Bock to kind of throw in there and do a blend. So I like the way that the Southern German Lager was crisp and clean, but wanted just a little bit of maltiness to kind of round out. So.
Okay.
Could you taste the blend? Could you taste those aspects that you liked of the two separate beers?
I
Probably not. Okay. Yeah, to be honest with you.
So it's worth it.
Yeah, totally worth it.
Yeah. Had to use some more of the other? Was it kind of like just happenstance? Or was it like, did you plan to do that?
No, I planned to do that. I forgot
to make a starter. Yeah. I got that over here. I should probably just use that one.
Yeah, it's about to expire. I don't know.
No, I specifically picked those out. I mean, definitely because of the Southern German lager and how it did last year for me in my Helles. But then I was definitely going for something a little more malty. I mean, the Helles was good, had a little bit of malt character, but I run into something really, really kind of chewy.
Well, especially for a style like this, you need that. And it's going to be, well, it's 11 months old now, and it's still going pretty strong. So
Right.
I think it was a good choice.
Yeah. I was going for something that was drinkable, but still kind of filling and full. I felt like if I just kind of went with Altbach or something really super malt forward, that might be too much. I don't know. Just trying to kind of balance it out.
Yeah. And, you know, back to what we were saying about there's really not a whole lot of commercial styles to sort of compare it to. But in my mind and reading the style guidelines, it's a bigger beer, but it shouldn't really present as a big beer. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's still a porter-ish, right? So there's it's not as like a stout, right?
It has lean elements.
Wow. Yeah. GABF judge over here coming through.
Intermittently fast.
We actually brewed a commercially available Baltic porter as part of a collaboration we did with Dick Cantwell from Elysian. And it was a pumpkin beer with caraway seeds and cinnamon in it. So, I mean, it was kind of a, you know, it's a bit of a mess when you compare it to yours because a lot of stuff in it. But
caraway, that's
yeah, crazy. It's just kind of like these unique ingredients. And Dick Cantwell, of course, you know, when he was the Elysian, was like the pumpkin king. So it was interesting. It was a great beer. It's actually held up really well. The cinnamon's kind of still there. You know, anytime you add cinnamon to a beer, it's always pretty dominant. But it's got great elements of a Baltic porter, sort of this malty, you know, note to it, but it's still very lean on the back end. So
I was trying to think in my head like medium mouthfeel, but it's not even that, or like a lighter mouthfeel. It's not that because malt flavor,
and then it just, like you said it earlier, where it just kind of just drops right off.
Yeah.
It's not like this lingering, like, cloey, you know, viscous flavor.
Yeah, it finishes.
Especially for a beer that's that big.
Right, it finishes kind of clean in that regard for a 9%
beer. This is really a dangerous beer.
Yeah, it really is. I wouldn't have known. I would have assumed it was maybe 7%.
I would have guessed maybe 8. Yeah. Tops. Yeah.
No.
But what did you say? What gravity it did finish?
Is there more? No.
I think there's two more bottles.
Yeah.
10-16.
10-16.
Yeah. Started at 1086.
1086 to 1016.
Yeah.
I appreciate the dryness. Like,
it's a dry.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was shooting for a little higher, but I mean,
so it's a mistake. You messed up.
Totally. Yeah.
Well, just keep doing it.
That's right. Yeah. Are you going to.
I mean, with time in the bottle, too, it's probably leaned out a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you going to replicate? Are you going to do it again?
I'll probably try to rebrew it. I'm not sure what I would change on it other than maybe just trying to hit my target final gravity just to see how that differs, you know.
Oh, okay. You're right. Yeah, right. Right.
A little more.
Where
fuller.
Did you mash for that?
I think I mashed at 152. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just single infusion?
Single infusion. Yeah. Batch barge.
Okay. Yep. Are you going to do the yeast blend again?
I was happy with the yeast blend. I mean, maybe if I rebrewed it, I might mix it up a little bit
now
again.
You're stuck with that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. If it ain't broke.
Yeah.
Just get a bunch of 1 gallon jugs and do various yeast blends.
Yeah.
And that'll be your thing, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I would be interested to see this yeast blend in even a Helles. Because they can have that kind of malty sort of. I feel like the style profile is sort of similar, but you have that malty, but it does kind of get lean in the back end on some examples of it, right?
Yeah,
Warren,
it could definitely work out if it does this same thing.
Yeah,
in a Helles. Yeah, great idea, Jason.
Thanks, man. Appreciate
JP,
that.
You should brew that one.
Yeah, I'll get right on that. But I actually have already brewed it. Yeah, I just brewed it right now, as a matter of fact. So, Justin, what advice would you give somebody entering NHC for the first time, any sort of beers, whatever? What do you think that you did to make this a gold medal beer?
Yeah, I think it's, for me, the one big pointer is, I think, fermentation control.
Yeah.
And that's made a huge difference in all of my beers. I mean, they got dramatically better once I started you know, messing with fermentation temps. You know, I'm still kind of just basic batch barge kind of guy, and nothing too complicated in that process. But I do have a, you know, refrigerator fermentation temp controlled unit, and just kind of maintaining that temp and be able to kind of ramp when you need to ramp. Mm-hmm. And do, you know, do a diacetyl rest has been a huge payback in terms of, you know, what I've,
you know, the quality,
yeah,
of your beer
quality
coming
beer
through.
And it's just been a big help. So that's okay. Kind of, you know, for me, you know, just kind of research the ingredients and, you know, just see what you kind of like. I mean, like you said, it's hard to find a Baltic porter and get a good commercial example, but
yeah. You're just going to get ones with caraway seeds.
Yeah, right? Caraway seeds. Yeah. But yeah, just that's kind of what I was just experiment, figure out what you like, and then yeah, just try to replicate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you come all the way out here just for the show? Like, are you going home tomorrow?
I am going home tomorrow.
Really? You're
I
not
came
even
out
gonna like
specifically for the show.
My God, dude!
Stay in your house, Jason.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the forgot surprise about that. I have no seat to my car. You have to sit on the roof. You have to surf like Teen Wolf.
Yeah.
You're not going to like any of the breweries around, or you're not going to. It's not a vacation. You're just going home like first thing tomorrow morning.
I'm going home first thing tomorrow. Yeah.
I feel like I need to take you out tonight.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. Matt, take him to Vinny's. Yeah. Yeah. Get him some Fireball shots, and let's just, you know, get his money's worth.
Yeah.
I kind of hung out earlier today, but Rare Barrel was closed, and I think the Sierra Nevada Torpedo Room was closed. And,
oh, man.
Faction's closed. So I was like, damn.
You had nowhere to go, dude.
Nowhere to go.
You should have told me. Maybe we could have sent an email, and I would have got a response tomorrow. Sure, JP, bring him in. Well, I'm just, thanks, Jay, but it was yesterday.
No worries.
Roger, but we're done
this
here.
This is fun.
Triple Rock.
Yeah. So you homebrew, huh? He's just nose in his glass. That's cool. Yeah. I got to look this way now for an hour. No, very good beer, man. I really appreciate you.
Awesome.
Being a completely insane person.
Yeah.
And flying all the way out here and then shipping your beer. And,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, thanks
you
for
earned it.
Me.
Well done.
That's true.
Good job.
All right, Paul Brown.
Hey.
Let's talk to you now. Get the microphone right in your face.
All right.
Pale Brown.
Yes.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good.
It's been a while since you've been even in the studio, much less seeing you. Actually, I just saw you, I think, like last week, and now I'm seeing you again.
It's been too long.
So it hasn't
though.
Been that long.
Yeah, but I had to schedule time with you, which is how it goes.
Is that it right That's there? How things are.
God damn it. That is how things are.
You guys will work it out.
All right, Pale Brown, you won a bronze for German Hefeweizen.
Like the stepchild of the AAC, right?
You did good.
Thanks.
Yeah.
It's beer.
You're a winner.
But everyone's a winner.
Yeah.
You're still the master of German beers in my eyes.
So there you go.
Thank you, Jordan.
See? Yeah. Jordan's Paul is a sliding Jordan a check. It's a blank check. Every time he says something.
Every
nice.
Time.
Yeah. German Hefs. This is something you've been working on.
I'm on version number like 6 or 7 right now.
Really?
So, yeah.
Whoa. Over how long? How many years?
A year and a half. But
that's a lot of German Hef in under 2 years, dude.
What do you do with it?
Honey, guess what we're having for dinner?
Yeah. Schnitzel.
I just keep bringing it out to Doe's meetings. And, you know.
Okay.
It's a lot of headaches.
Yeah. It's a lot of headaches. Yeah, you could just give it to alcoholics.
You have to like bananas first.
What is a German Hef very banana heavy?
Shouldn't be. Should be balanced.
But you yours know. Are. That
Mine
you're saying.
A little bit. Banana heavy.
Okay. Jordan, is that true? You guys are in the same club. You are dozers.
So, truth be told,
yeah.
German Hef is probably my least favorite style.
Yeah, okay.
But I will drink Paul's pales.
Yeah.
All day.
Okay.
Because I think it's very balanced.
They're that good.
It's very balanced, yeah.
Look at that. So he takes it all.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Not that he should care what I drinker.
I feel like when the Doe's notes come out before, like, here, this is what we're going to be talking about at the club meeting tonight, it's just Paul and Jordan. Whenever Paul's on the docket to bring his Hefeweizen in, it's just these two guys.
No.
Paul, this is really great. Thanks, man. I really appreciate that. You want some more? Yes, I do. All right.
We have our sub-club meeting out in the corner. Two of you.
That's right. So, German Hefs, seven batches?
At least, yeah.
At least. What are you doing?
They
like how complicated is a German half? And I'm only being half an asshole because I don't really understand. Like, to me, it's a very simple beer. But how are you going through the iterations?
Well,
what are you doing?
I'm not changing.
What's wrong with you?
In like all these batches, I'm just rebrewing it. Sometimes I'll get a different wheat malt or a different pale malt.
Yeah.
I've tried only two different yeasts.
Okay.
But like a year and a half ago when I first started doing this, I won the Oktoberfest.
Okay.
And then I got to brew it over at 21A with these guys.
Oh.
So
and then went downhill from there.
No, it actually went uphill.
Okay,
from there.
Good. You like, go back and do the Spark Ale read again.
So did Sully walk across the stage with you at NHC and collect the medal? Then
I think he carried him like a baby.
That was my beer that went NHC.
No. So it's
our beer now.
So right? Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't get that document.
Did you not sign the NDA?
I think I did sign that document.
Yeah, you.
That version is
give me half your medal.
Sully's now.
Okay, cut it in half. So that was your first German half. You're like Iron Man.
It was not my first German half.
Okay,
but it was. I won the best of show, so we got to brew it at 21A.
At 21A, yeah.
And that was awesome. That was just a great day. There's five or six of us from Doe's there, and
Jaren was there, really brewing with you and Dogger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a good day.
Okay.
And it was
That's
on there.
Cool, man.
I invited all my friends over to, come try this beer at 21A.
Yeah.
Of course, everybody loved it, right?
That's right.
But what did you think about it?
That's a good question.
The 21A beer is awesome. It is great. They should brew it again. They should do it
Sully's
again.
Shooting
like six inches away from right now. Like beams on the side of your head.
You're right.
He's sheathing his knife right now. It's fine. It's all right. How true was it to, not to advance into Matt's topic, but Matt's like, why am I here? How true was it to the homebrewer?
It was really close.
Yeah?
It was.
Hell yeah, dude.
I could compare bottles and kegs because I brought some home with me.
Yeah, sure.
And it was really close, so I was happy with it.
Excellent.
And so then I kept rebrewing it. This at like number, five or six. You really want to try this beer fresh. You don't want to let it sit.
Like, right.
The beer that we have in front of us right now is 2 months old. It's been bottled for 2 months.
Okay.
So it's at least 3 months old.
Okay. All right.
You don't want it to be too old. You want it to be fresh. So
right.
Even like for NHC, the first round, I think it got first place in the first round.
Wow.
And third place in the second round.
Yeah. But
did you rebrew it?
I had to rebrew it because it just needs to be fresh.
Yeah. What's the time gap between the first round and the second? But when you brewed for the first round and when you have to brew for the second round?
I probably brewed it like beginning of January for the first round, and it would be due in
March,
the end of March.
End of March, okay.
And then as soon as I found out that it advanced, it was like, okay, I got to set up a timetable so it would be ready to be at its peak in June.
How much time do you have to know that you have to rebrew this?
Not very much.
Okay.
If you have a Baltic Porter, forget it. You're just
it's that one. Yeah.
You have two and a half or three months.
I'm good with what I have.
All right. 2.5 or 3 months.
I mean, if you're doing like, hazy IPA or a German half, you're like, okay, I'm going to brew it 3 weeks out from when I got to ship it.
Okay.
So.
And you have it to the day, probably.
Pretty much. When it will be at its peak. You got to let it sit a little bit, but not long enough to like let that yeast settle out. And anyway, it's.
Do you bottle from the keg?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
that fresh, I'm sure you couldn't bottle condition.
Just before the second round, I was like shaking the keg around and around and around. It's like, okay, let's get that yeast back up in suspension.
Right. Oh, that was my next question. So that's what you actively had the yeast shaken up in the keg to put in the bottle. So you're expecting at the judging table, if they're saying, okay, it's a German Hef, to roll the bottle and sort of mix it up a little
bit? If it's been sitting for, you know, a couple weeks in some storage.
You hope.
Because otherwise it's going to be a crystal Weizen.
Okay.
Like the one that we're pouring here is pretty darn clear.
It is pretty clear, yeah. But I didn't know. You know, I mean, what are you going to do? So you had the yeast in the bottle, and that definitely makes an impact, not only on flavor, I would imagine. I mean, you look at all these haze. I mean, Jordan's drinking a fucking orange juice beer here already. That there is some sort of flavor profile to it, but it's also an appearance thing, too? Or,
an appearance.
But appearance is only 3 points, so you can't care too much about it, right?
If they give you two, I don't like those numbers. No, there's a little bit of mouthfeel in there and a little bit of flavor with that yeast. So.
How would you say this beer has changed over from when you sent it in to how we're tasting it now?
Like right now, it's not as crisp. It's a little dull.
Okay.
Soft?
A little soft.
What about like the banana-clove ratio or intensity?
Seems more banana right now. Okay. I'm not sure why, but...
Mm-hmm. In both the aroma and flavor?
I like the aroma of it.
Okay. Because to me, the aroma is a bit biased towards banana, but in the flavor, I get a lot more clove, and so it helps finish the beer out.
That clove
that
clove on the back end is a lot. It's almost tannin-like, but I really enjoy that as well. It does seem like you're doing a good job between the esters.
Yeah, the ester and phenol balance is really nice.
I was like, did I use, is ester even the right word? I don't know anymore.
It was part of the right word.
I don't know anymore.
I don't want to jump ahead, but did you do a ferulic acid rest on this or just a single infusion?
What's a ferulic acid rest?
Okay, that one's like down at 115, 113.
Yeah, low teens.
And
nice.
I don't do that rest. I do a rest at 122.
You look uncomfortable right now. You look...
How long?
Yeah, like you look at you're sitting on a bed of nails. Yeah. You're like, I don't know. Are you expecting to get a bunch of shit for not doing this? What is a ferulic acid rest?
I don't know what the chemical compound is.
Well, right? You're fired.
It'll bring out more of the clove, spicy flavors.
Okay.
Right. Where the banana is going to come predominantly from a yeast, and so does the clove. But by doing a 113, 120 rest for about 15 minutes, you're going to create some compounds that will bring out more of the clove flavors. So
it creates more precursors for the yeast during their normal metabolic process to pump out the
clovers.
Phenols,
okay, right.
Relative
right.
to the banana.
So I split the difference. I do a 122.
Okay.
Rest for like 30 minutes. That's and then cool. I'll add hot water at like 190 degrees because I'll do a really thick mash at 122 and let it sit for 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll infuse it with 190 degree water to bring it up to 148 and then let it sit for another 30 minutes and then do the normal 168 mash out.
Okay. So you really have to know your system. Like, you know how much water to add, or are you just winging it?
You just use Beersmith.
Yeah. There you go.
Hell yeah, dude.
Once you've done it, like, once time, two times, and then you're like, okay, now I got to add a little bit hotter water or, you know, something.
Okay.
Something changes or whatever. But, yeah, generally it's easier for my system. I couldn't do it from, like, say, 113. All the from 113, and I didn't want to take the time from 113 to 130 to 148. It'd be such a long day.
Yeah. I mean,
some people just do like, okay, we'll just do a single infusion, done. But you read like Gordon Strong stuff and Jamil's stuff, and they're always for the Hefs, they're either doing decoctions or like infusions. They always do some kind of temperature rest.
Some kind of rest, yeah.
So, I just like did something that was easy for my system and did it from 122 to 148 to 160.
And in
different hef strains are also have different levels of sensitivity to that frulic acid rest, and so your duration isn't even uniform across different strains.
Right. That sounds complicated.
It is. Yeah,
I would just, even more complicated.
Right. Yeah.
I would just brew an IPA and get it done with.
The style that we shit on is actually that there's so much that goes into the mashing and your yeast selection. That's really the key to this beer.
Just do what Justin did. Brew one batch. You got it for a whole year, dude. Fuck.
Yeah, it's done.
Yeah, it sounds good. So you've done this like six times?
At least.
Yeah. What's wrong with you?
Well, it's a good beer.
It is a good beer. Are you sick of Hefeweizens now? Like, are you going to brew this again? Are you going to keep working on it?
Should I tell you what's in my fermenter right now?
Yeah.
Let me guess.
12 fermenters. 18 see, of them are Hefeweizens.
Let's see. Where's Fluffy number 7? It's like...
Okay. So you're still working on it.
Yeah. It's trying to answer the question of where's Fluffy.
Right. Have you found Fluffy yet?
Dude. Where's Fluffy? Finding it.
Oh. Yeah.
Hey, Mama. Where's Fluffy? And...
I don't understand.
You don't listen to... Metallica.
That's a Metallica thing. So.
No, the only when you say Fluffy, I think of that Ween song. Very different genres of music.
If you listen to like Garage Inc. At the end of Bread Fan, the music, they'll be like, "Hey, mommy, where's Fluffy?"
Okay.
And I mean, Fluffy was like
some Metallica thing.
It's a Metallica thing.
All right.
Fluffy was a good name for a half. So
it is good. Yeah, I mean. Yeah.
It's a great name.
I can see that.
Paul, you should tell them where you were last night.
Where was I?
In your Metallica concert.
At the Metallica concert.
There we go.
Yeah.
High-fiving all the teens.
Are there any teens at a Metallica concert?
I don't think there were.
No. Yeah. But I want to imagine
11 teens.
Paul in the pit or something, like high-fiving a bunch of like 18-year-olds, and Paul's just like the oldest guy there besides the band. That's what I want to imagine.
Okay, it's just Paul and the band.
I was at
Paul
a different concert. But
does Metallica even have a pit anymore?
I don't know, man. And they do a bunch of shit with like symphonies now.
Last night it was the orchestra pit. Right?
See, there you go. Yeah.
No, the average age at this concert was like 40 plus.
The average age was you.
I love that. There you go, man. You're still rocking.
Thank you.
Brewing half and rocking out to Metallica.
Yeah, right. What a big deal.
I like this beer. So how old is this beer again?
This one is 3 months. It's
3 months
old. A little bit too old.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Mm-hmm. You definitely need it a little fresher than this. You said 2 months, you think, for your
at the most, yeah.
Yeah.
What's the difference between the first pour and the bomber pour, because you have two bottles here.
Oh, we have two bottles.
Yeah. Oh. That one's better. The big bottle.
The big bottle's better.
A little bit crisper.
Okay. So that's the 3 month old.
Yeah.
Okay. Why did you pause?
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure exactly how old. Okay. The other all right. Bottle
don't
is,
you lie so. To us too, Paul.
Yeah. Like, what's the other bottle?
Go. It's like. I put a date on them somewhere.
What did we get, Bev? What was our first pour?
That was the little bottle.
The little bottle. What was that?
That was the actual NHC beer.
That was the winner.
Oh,
this
okay.
is the rebrew?
This is a rebrew?
This is a rebrew.
Myriad of rebrew.
Just make it up.
Paul's just pouring beers.
This is a pyramid hef.
Yeah. Actually, I picked this up on the way in.
Brewed in Berkeley.
Yeah. So you don't know what this is?
It does taste different.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah. I don't know,
the
man.
The aroma is way different.
Homebrew.
Does it say on the bottle?
No.
Oh.
All that writing doesn't say anything?
No, it doesn't have a date on it.
This is Fluffy.
Sorry. It's
but comparing it, it's very different.
Yeah.
That's very different. Much more banana comes through. It's carbonated a lot better. Yeah.
So
the wheat is very present.
But it's very dry and thin.
But it's very dry and thin.
The other one.
Yeah.
So that's
just like me.
A little bit when you were like asking what is some of your like keys for NAC.
Yeah.
The beers that I put on my kegs that I want to send to big competitions.
Yeah.
I try to overcarbonate them slightly so that by the time, you know, I'm bottling them and they're losing, you can see the foam come off and the carbonation's coming off and stuff. And then they sit for 3 or 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe when they pour that at their table, they'll still have a nice head on them. And so that's like my little key is just like I overcarbonate them slightly.
Right.
For comps.
Cause you're
if you're coming in late in the flight too. the beer is going to be sitting there
warm.
No, that's true.
And degassing the entire time also.
Yeah.
That's smart.
Yeah, that's right. And are you sort of compensating for that loss you kind of get sometimes when you're going from keg to bottle?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always been terrible at carbonation. I suck at it. Like, all my beers are just like fucking water. It's like, what is this?
Didn't you bottle for a competition with just a tube off of your tap?
Oh, I've done that several times. Yeah.
Did you win?
I don't know, man.
Probably not.
Look, I don't know why. We're talking about Paul.
Yeah.
Talking about me. I don't want to toot my own horn. We're here to honk on Paul's horn.
All right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, this is so are these beers the same recipe?
They're all the same recipe.
Okay.
Well, besides maybe the malt like Weyermann malt or Viking malt or something.
Like I do kind of like where it's like the same ratios and all that kind of stuff, right?
For the most part, have all been the same.
Yeah.
The hops, there's like 15 pellets of Magnum. when I measure out the hops for this beer, it's like 0.33 ounces or 0.33 grams of Magnum, and you put it on a little scale, and literally there's like 20 little.
Right.
Pellets.
Yeah, you breathe on it and it moves.
Like, toss them in.
Yeah.
Done. Yeah. Like an easy brew day. It's not like an IPA where you got to, another hop addition. Okay, I got to babysit this one. Another hop addition.
Yeah, multiple timers going off.
Yeah.
Fuck that shit, dude.
I mean, the beginning of the brew day is a little bit busy when you have to do the infusion of the temperatures. But after that, there's like, I do a 90-minute boil because there's Pilsner malt.
Okay. Yeah, give us your recipe. Why not? Let's just go there.
So let's see. 50% wheat malt. And most of the time I try to use the red wheat from RAR.
Okay.
40% Pilsner malt. 6% Melanoidin.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give it some meaty, some balanced character or something in it. And then I use a 4% acidulated, just to keep the pH down.
pH adjustment, okay.
Yeah. I mean, and that's it for the malts. And then there's, like I said, 0.33 ounces of Magnum.
Okay.
And then...
At 60?
First wort.
Wow. So, look at you. First wart, boys.
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
So I just...
Damn. Why, Paul?
Wow, man.
Well, I heard Justin does it, and so I decided to do it.
Yeah. I know, right? It's like I just toss them in when the sparge is gone, and you're done, right?
Okay.
And then I've been using the White Labs WLP-300. At the first time around... I used 380, and I got a lot of feedback that it was like way too much banana, and there's like bubblegum banana, and so I got feedback from those people that have brewed this style before, like, oh, you should try 300, WLP 300, and it seemed to balance it all out a lot better, and brew it started at 62 degrees, so you keep it... a little bit cool.
A little subdued.
A little bit subdued.
Okay.
And
does that amp the clove at all? Like, that's what was my understanding about Hefeweizens, where if you go warmer, you're getting bananas, but if you go cooler, you're getting the clove. Is that accurate, or is that homebrewer lore that's bullshit?
Yes.
You're asking?
I'm looking at Paul, but I don't hear Paul.
Yes.
Okay. That's what you hear.
That's what I've heard.
It depends on the strain?
Yeah. But definitely you do get more of a bias to the phenolic side the cooler you ferment.
Okay. And then with the furic acid?
Right. The ferulic acid.
Ferulic.
Thank you.
So you can use those two things and also pitching rate. The lower you pitch the smaller amount of a pitch that you throw in will give you more esters as well. So if you over pitch, you'll also push the phenols a bit more. So if you really are into those phenols, you do a long ferulic acid, over pitch, and ferment cool.
The phenols are the clove.
Way too many variables.
Yeah, dude. So I'm annoyed
now. Once I found out that this was a good recipe and the process was good.
Yeah.
And it actually won something. It's like, okay, done.
Right.
I'm not changing anything else.
Which I like.
You're not
because
listening to Warren.
That's right. Because the way that you can take other ingredients now and plug them into this equation of your recipe and then see what those ingredients do, you know, different kinds of malts, right, like you're talking about or whatever, you sort of have an expectation of the output, right? The outcome. So I do like that, having your ratio set and everything set, and then you can sort of tweak everything out based on that.
True.
I think it's a pretty good idea.
Yeah. So it's,
I'm glad I told you about it.
Yeah. That's what I did, exactly.
I'm a big
exactly
homebrew.
What I did.
You might get silver next year.
That's right.
I know, right?
Yeah. Moving on up.
I don't Who knows if I enter it again? I don't know.
Oh.
What do you mean?
Quit while you're ahead?
You have to.
No, yeah, you'll be defending bronze champion.
I've got to see what happens in a month or so, right?
Oh, right, because you have one right now. Yeah, see how it goes.
Yeah, this is a really good Hef. You should brew this commercially with someone.
You should.
Sully, bring this back. Okay. But do all of the acid rests and all of the things.
Decoctions.
Decoction.
Yeah. Well, good job, Paul.
Thanks.
What do you think? Maybe you've already said it, but I'll give you another opportunity. Do you have to give someone one piece of advice?
Enter lots of beer. I mean,
enter lots of beer.
Well, I mean, these guys have been brewing and they've entered NHC. How many times have you entered NHC?
Oh, I've probably six or seven times.
Okay.
Six or seven, yeah.
Yeah.
Jordan? Three times.
Three times. He's holding up three like we can see him.
Exactly.
So, podcasts are a great visual
for the
medium
folks at home.
Yeah.
I mean, the big competition is NHC.
Right.
And I've been entering that probably for like 10 years or more now. And I got one medal last year and one medal this year.
So for like, so, what, 8 years you weren't getting shit?
No. I mean, I would advance to that.
This is where I just quit. I gave up after advancing like three times, dude.
You get to that second round, and it's like, it is so hard to get a medal. And
yeah.
If you get one, like, you know, these guys get golds, shit.
Yeah.
See, I'll quit when I get a gold. I've got a silver, a bronze. I need that gold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And complete then the set.
And then what, I might quit.
Yeah. Why did you stop brewing that cream ale? Because that cream ale was possibly one of
those. Because I was brewing the Hefeweizen.
God damn it.
Paul's a one-recipe kind of guy.
I know. It's like, you gotta.
That cream ale was one of my favorite homebrews I've ever had in my life.
Oh, really? You've never had my homebrews?
I stand by what I just said.
Oh, shit. Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I kept winning with that cream ale. I was like, okay, I'm done.
Okay. So you did get gold with that one.
Not an NHC.
Wow. Warren's the master at calling people out.
It was, I mean, it did get a best of show, but not at NHC.
Okay.
Mm, so. Okay.
It deserved it.
Yeah.
It deserved all the things.
Do you enter other comps besides NHC?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Matt's shaking his head already. He's like, yep.
Matt's like, absolutely. I don't know, you're like agent or something.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
Paul, answer in the affirmative, please.
A lot of paperwork. Probably. Okay. 6 to 7 competitions per year.
So. Do you do what Andy does, where he was talking about just entering in advance to NHC to see what to send in and what recipe to tweak out? Okay, you do that.
Yeah. And then because maybe I'll have, say, 5 beers or 6 beers at home.
Yeah.
And I'll enter some of those in a earlier comp. And because at NHC, you can only enter, say, 4 or 5 maximum.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll pick. Like, that one did crap, that one did crap, well, that one did okay, that one, you know.
Yeah.
So I'll advance those to NHC.
Do you have certain comps that are out there that you weight differently, that have more impact about, you know, the feedback that you get is either better or you apply a little bit more weight to what these judges say from this comp versus, you know, whatever, right? State fair or whatever.
They're all pretty close because when you enter locally around here, you're getting a lot of the same judges.
Same guys. You're getting Matt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're getting, you know.
It's same. Just Matt.
You're getting like Brian. All those homebrew guys that you have on Thursday or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Those
you get Brian Cooper, guys, like, Brian Shaw. You know,
they give you the 2 on.
Yeah.
Were you supposed to get a three?
Yeah.
Because it's...
You're supposed to get a three.
Yeah.
Man, you enter like... You have expectations like I do when I enter. Like, I'm supposed to have a three. It says it's out of three. I should get a three here,
everything,
asshole.
Everything they describe on there, it's like, okay... The head is okay. The color is okay. This, oh, you just get a two.
Yeah.
What do you want? What do you?
It's because it's.
What more
it's,
do you want?
It's supposed to be four SRM.
I need that one more point.
This is more like three SRM.
Yeah.
This looks like a HEF, two out of three.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem with judging is that it's this weird like nexus of you're supposed to just compare it to the style. But as homebrewers, you also want to know what you could do better, but that's out of the purview of the judge. The judge is just saying, well, here's the guidelines, here's your beer, and they don't match up here, so I'm going to give you points on that. But at the end of the day, you're like, well, what do I do that's better? I mean, it's just hard.
It is.
It's hard. Good judges will give you constructive feedback. Like,
yeah,
I want to see this next time.
Yeah, but you also can't because then you're assuming what the homebrewer did. Like, I've gotten feedback on my beers where people go like, oh, you should add pale chocolate. I'm like, there's fucking 8% pale chocolate in here. Like, you don't. And so then I just get bitter and I cut myself.
Well, you could say this Hef is too dark. 2 out of 3 points.
Good.
Yeah, too dark for the style.
Right, yeah.
2 out of 3 points, yeah.
At least give a reason. Always said, even pro brewers care about this too, if you're going to deduct points, I care more about why you deducted points than the things you like about my beer.
That's true.
Like, tell me why you didn't give me 100%.
Well, let's call Brian and Brian right now.
They probably have their notes.
Actually, they're out here. Let's wave them in, and we'll fight to the death.
Yeah.
But you recently brewed with Matt here. We'll get to Matt right now from Danville Brewing Company. There you go. I'm going to shift the mics
there, Paul. Hello, Matt.
What did you brew with Matt?
I brewed an international dark lager, American dark lager.
American dark lager. Yeah.
Okay. It's on tap right here at the Hot Grenade. That was my first beer of the night.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah.
Well, thanks.
That's a very good beer. Yeah. Well, that's a very good beer. How did you guys hook up with that?
Well, go ahead.
You go.
All right.
Yeah, no, you hang up.
You're here for a reason. Yeah. I mean, why not?
I want to drink some beer. So
I think one of the most memorable experiences I had as a homebrewer was having the opportunity to brew a pro-am beer. And... when I did go pro, I made it a priority to do that as well for homebrewers. So
to brew their homebrews at the brewery.
Yeah. And so we've been open for 3 years, and 3 years in a row now we've done a pro-am entry. This was the first year that we actually put on a sanctioned competition. In the years past, you have to have won a medal or a ribbon in the past year in a sanctioned competition to be able to get into this pro-am.
Okay. AHA sanction?
AHA sanction. Right. So 2 years prior, we're like, all right, so if you've won in the past year, we'll take your beer into consideration. This year, we said, all right, well, F it, let's sanction our own competition. And we got a lot more entries this year than we did in the past because of that. And a lot of really good entries, but for this competition, it's like a best of show, right?
Yeah.
So you got to think not only okay, is it a good beer? Does it meet stylistically what you're looking for? But is it a winnable beer?
What do you mean
in that format, in a best of show format?
So are you looking for what would win in best of show, or are you looking for what we could win in pro-am at GABF?
Well, that's what pro-am at GABF really is.
It's a
veritable potpourri of styles.
Very nice.
You like that?
Yeah, I do.
Spicer.
That's the Spicer potpourri. Vegetable.
You already know that there's going to be a shit ton of IPAs and stouts and kettle sours and what have you and smoked jalapeno wit beers.
Actually, it kind of sounds good right now. I don't know why. coconut Baltic porter.
Don't give me coconut. I'll put coconut in just about anything.
Have you met my friend Justin? Or
and that's what it came down to with this beer. Is not only was it delicious and it really hit all the points that we were looking for, but I was like, damn, you know, this really stands out. And of course, it's yet to be seen. We'll find out in a few weeks, but. it was an excellent beer, and I was so happy to have Paul because, you know, I've been a Doze member now for about 9 years, and Paul was the president for how many of those years?
Four.
4 years? Yeah, he's somebody I've always looked up to as a home brewer, and I think he's a great guy, and I was super happy to find out that it was his beer. I know, right? I was super happy to find out it's his beer and have the opportunity to brew with him.
Nice.
Very good. Yeah. Wow.
I mean, this beer actually got a second place medal at NHC a year ago. So, 2000.
So you won silver with this.
I won silver with this beer.
You won a medal. It's not first round, second place.
This is a second round.
Okay.
Silver medal.
All right.
Dark lager.
Wow.
And I think I've only brewed this one four times.
Only.
Well, because it's not like you can re-brew this one for the second round because it's a
It's a lager, right?
Lager, and I like to let it sit for 3 to 4 weeks.
Did you do a ferulic acid rest?
No, this was a single infusion.
Single infusion got really infusion
at like 148.
And I mean, so what's the style like? Because it's not super malty. It's not really big and chewy. It finishes pretty clean. It's sort of thinner.
You're chasing metals.
Yeah.
Because you look at the numbers of entries in whatever category.
Yeah.
And you look at dark lagers. Oh, there's not that many in that category. So I'll brew some of this, right?
Okay.
It's not necessarily a Schwartz beer, though.
No. You know,
I think that's not at all.
People off.
Yeah.
It's an American international American dark lager, so it's
would you call
adjunct
it?
Heavy?
Okay.
There's.
Do you have the recipe by chance?
Is there rice in it?
I do. There's.
No, Paul
there's,
Brown, give us the recipe.
Oh my gosh! Okay. Really fast.
In Swedish, please.
Okay.
You can make Matt read it too. I don't care.
60% pale malt. Pick your choice of pale malt. 15% Pilsner, 7% corn, 7% rice, and what do we got? 3% caramel 40, and then carafa for the color. So the carafa and the caramel malt, the caramel malt at 40, those all went in the Vorloff. They didn't go in the regular mash. Mm.
Were they dehusked carafa also?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
you put them in, in the whirlpool?
No, Vorloff.
Okay, sorry.
So during the sparge. So
right.
After the mash is over and then we're going to get ready to sparge, then we threw in the caramel and the carafa.
I confused my French and my German.
Mm. It's crazy what that does for a dark lager type beer like this. It gives you all the nice color and light toasty flavors without the bitter astringency of the roasted grain. It works wonders.
Are there commercial versions you'd compare this to? I mean, you started to say it's an international dark lager, then you said it's American.
I think the closest that you're going to look at is the Shinerbach would be.
Okay. Nice God, it's been years since I've seen a Shinerbach.
Yeah.
It sort of reminds me of last time I was in Florida a few years ago, Yingling has like an amber lager that's not as toasty as this, but it's very similar in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
It's very clean, very smooth, not a whole lot really going on, but in the beginning there's a lot of that kind of malt toasty notes like you're talking about, Warren, and it just cleans up and then it's refreshing.
What are the hops in it?
I don't know. You have to ask Paul. I don't know.
We have Liberty hops at 15 IBUs at 60.
Damn.
And Liberty hops at like 2 IBUs at 10.
Justin, is his main flaw with that recipe not first wort hopping?
Yeah, why are you guys not doing first wort?
We're fucking psycho out here, dude. We're crazy.
Left coast, baby.
Yeah. Insane the Joker. Call me that right now. That's a great beer.
It is really good. Yeah.
So it's with the German lager yeast, the German lager yeast.
Yeah.
The WLP 830.
Okay.
Yeah. I told Paul when we chose it, I said, I want to stay as true to the recipe as possible, even if it means we have to bring in a pitch of the yeast or whatever. I want to you know, this is what we chose, and I don't want to kind of fiddle with it too much.
Yeah.
And I think we pretty much hit it on.
Paul, yeah, what do you think?
We had the homebrew version next to, I saved a couple bottles.
Mm-hmm.
So when it got released at Danville, we opened a bottle of my homebrew one. I mean, even though mine was, it was a little bit darker.
Oh, yeah. I work at Danville Brewing Company.
By the way. Yeah. They were like so close. It was so awesome to taste
good.
Both.
Oh, wow. That's cool,
just,
man.
I mean, the color was just a little bit different, but
yeah.
Because I brewed this a couple times, and like maybe like the second time I brewed it, at the time of the Vorloff, I'm like adding the carafa, and you could see the color of the beer going, you know, into the boil kettle, and you're going like, oh man, this is like way too light, right? It's like,
yeah.
it's not a dark lager, it's like an amber lager.
We had a little poopy moment, actually, when we were saw it coming through. And oh, shit.
I got to add another half ounce of carafa here, you know, and I keep adding stuff. And so the version that they tasted at their little pro-am thing was...
Their little thing. Little whatever.
Whatever the kids are up to. Yeah. I'm at a Metallica concert. I don't give a shit.
That's cute, your little pro-am.
It was dark.
Yeah.
Because you know, added like, okay, I'm going from 8 ounces to 12 ounces to like...
You're adding and adding because you think there's something wrong. Okay. Like yeah.
Darker and darker. And then by the time it got bottled up, it was like, this is Schwarzbier dark almost.
Okay.
Jesus. I mean, it didn't taste that way.
Did you ever do a version where you just threw all the grain in? Like you didn't do the...
Okay. You've always added the...
I've always added the dark grains at the Vorloff.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. What out of 3 points, what would you give Matt's color on this?
Well,
like, would you the appearance? Well, yeah.
Since we had
definitely two.
Maybe Matt should definitely talk about two. This one.
You're unhappy.
Yeah.
We weren't unhappy.
I know. I'm just kidding.
We could be happier.
Wow, Matt, you hear that?
Yeah. There I feel was like color correction.
So
I feel like Maury Povich right
we
now.
We made the color correction.
Cinemar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cinemar.
And yeah, so, you know, when we were like, it got fermented and we're like, you know, we should make it a little bit darker.
So Matt's was a little lighter.
A little lighter. Well, yep. Yeah, Matt's and mine.
Okay.
Was a little bit lighter.
Oh, and yeah. So you just thought stylistically for the end product, it should have a little...
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Goose it
before, a little bit. Yeah, before we put this into a competition, we wanted to get a little bit darker, so...
Sure.
I'd like to point out how brave Paul is for coming in here, sitting between two professional brewers that he's collaborated with, and then asking him, so how good do they do making your beer?
Right.
So props to you, Paul.
Yeah. Paul looks like he could.
Well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Paul looks like he could take a punch. So I'm okay.
Yeah.
Like I'm sure Paul and I are fine.
Yeah. But I'm more worried about Paul. That's about you.
Yeah. Sully
like
and Matt, I'm worried about.
There. You're like.
Yeah.
Way
I'm fine, man. I got the longest arms. I'll knock anybody. I don't know.
You don't know how to use those things.
That's true. Well, thanks for coming in, Matt, and talking about this beer. How do you? What did you do to sort of tweak his homebrew recipe? How was that? Kind of growing it up, but maybe you're used to doing that because you are a home brewer. Or you were
right,
a home brewer.
That's where I started. And it's just scaling things up. But he gave me the recipe. We collaborated a little bit. We went back and forth on the recipe design, not a whole lot.
It's pretty easy. Pretty it sounds
stayed,
easy. Yeah.
I think we pretty much stayed true to the percentages that he had. And
That's boring though. What like make some shit up, dude?
Coconut.
We put coconut in it.
Fuck, I knew it. I could taste it, too. Yeah.
Was there one thing...
This would be really good with coconut, actually.
Yeah.
Was there one thing in Paul's recipe where you're like, okay, Paul, we're going to have to change this because it's not going to work?
I think he liked everything.
On a pro scale.
Like, nope.
He liked the Liberty hops. And,
I can get them. Yep, yeah, let's do it.
Is that really what it comes down to? Or it's like, well, I mean,
if he's giving me a IPA that has a shit ton of Nelson and Galaxy, I'm like, oh. Sorry.
Yeah. Not going to happen.
Yeah.
No, but you're right. I mean, like what you said, Matt, if you're doing a collaboration with a home brewer, you have to be true to the recipe. You can't be that person like, nah, no, we don't use that hop. We're going to have to substitute this. I mean, there's sometimes you have to.
Like you have a really odd ingredient that's kind of rare and hard to get, sure, or it's super expensive. That's kind of like always the, I don't know, Goldschlager, we can't do that.
Yeah. I wanted to filter the gold out of the Goldschlager and put it in my beer.
But I appreciate you saying that, because I think anytime you have a hookup between a pro brewer and a home brewer to do a collaboration like that, you just got to, as best you can, stay true to that recipe.
Yeah.
Otherwise, why are you in it? You
know? It's the reason we chose it.
Yeah.
Right.
That's true. Yeah. You don't want to make something that's not what you liked in the first place. And also, what's the point?
Can we talk about the name a minute?
Yeah. What's the name?
Never Never Land?
Oh, God. Is it another hotel?
Here we go.
Somehow all my beers have got reference to Metallica phrases.
Somehow.
Little spinets from the Metallica song.
Oh, it's not a reference to a specific ranch that no kid should ever go to.
Damn, boy. I heard it was for sale.
Oh.
I think you can buy it.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you looking to move to Southern California?
I mean,
it's dropped.
You wouldn't have to go to Disneyland. Yeah. I hear
from like $100 million to $30 million.
I got that. I'm in podcasting, Jordan.
Bargain basement.
I'm a podcaster. I make tons of money. Done. All right, let's take a quick break. Jordan, we're going to get to your beer, I promise. What do you think about that? He left already.
He's asleep.
I'm fucking gone. It's been too long.
He fell asleep on the mic.
Yeah. All right, hang on. We'll be right back.
This is Matt Reynoldson from Firestone Walker Brewing Company, and you're listening to The Session on the Brewing Network.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Before we get to Jordan and his beer, we're talking about his beer. Unfortunately, we don't have any to taste, but that's fine. It's getting late, and we all have to live. I don't know. Live, both, actually. Go to drinkdrakes.com. Speaking of good beer, Drakes have been brewing beer for longer than I've been alive, probably. I mean, who really knows anymore? It's just basically they existed here before anybody was here in the first place.
You're not that young.
No, I wish I was, man. I'll tell you that. But Drake's doing some good stuff, man. They got a Pilsner out, I think. So I think it's just called... I think. I know it's out, but I forget the name. Thank you very much. It's good stuff.
I'll have to try that out.
Yeah, I like... basically, a lot of stuff that Drake's does is good.
It usually
time.
Is. Yeah.
They have the barrel room there in San Leandro, right near 21st Amendment.
Yeah, and the dealership.
Everywhere.
And what's the name of Sacramento?
I don't even know. Location? It's Awesome Barn. Town, I think it's
the
called.
The Barn.
The Barn.
Yes.
I like Awesome Town better. Maybe I'll reach out to them.
Yeah. Free marketing ideas?
Get on their marketing team. Yeah. Look, guys, just
that's
so you know.
Fresno,
just so you know. Give me access to your Slack channel.
Right.
And I'll feed you updates about what I think you should call things.
There's more where Awesome Town came from.
Tons more. There's Amazing Town. There's Awesomeville.
Fantasticville.
There's Amazingville.
Awesome Town.
Yeah. Anyway, go to drinkdrakes.com. And whenever you're in the Bay Area or anywhere good beer is in California, Drake should be there. And if it's not, demand it.
Please do.
Yeah, light yourself on fire if it's not there. Emulate yourself. Just go.
That's how you demand something,
do
right?
Do everything you can.
It's at the new Chase Center.
Jesus Christ. I would tell that story, but Taryn would probably kill me.
Hi, Taryn.
Yeah. No, we were talking about Dave Matthews Band because they're playing tomorrow night at the Chase Center in San Francisco. And I told Taryn, I was like, they're playing at the Chase Center. Taryn's like, where's that Chase Center? Where's that? Oh, is that the Oakland Coliseum? And I'm like, literally.
Iron Maiden's playing tomorrow night.
I'm like, literally, no.
Yeah.
No, none of those two words are not in what I just said.
How long of a pause did you take?
None. When you're doing this, when you work blue for 41 years, Warren, it just comes out.
Okay.
Yeah. Blue in the face from like choking yourself from not saying anything.
Sometimes I let Candy, I give her the time to think about what she just said.
I'm sure, you know what?
And what is going on in your house? I hate you so much.
Knowing you, you probably tell her that.
What Warren is trying to say.
You probably look at her and go, I'm going to give you the opportunity.
You can take that back.
To figure out how dumb you just were.
You and Sam are too much alike.
That's never a good thing.
Call 1-800. I will be divorced soon.
Jordan, what's going on, man?
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. My mic didn't want to work. It didn't want me to talk to you. So you won, my friend. You won gold. Not to get away from the bronze winners over here.
Gold.
But you won gold in fruit beer.
Fruit beer.
What the hell did you enter?
It was a kettle sour with guava, pink guava, and passion fruit.
Pink kettle sour with pink guava and passion fruit.
Yeah.
Is that stuff you'd brew normally, or were you metal chasing like everybody else?
You know, it wasn't really metal chasing, but it was just like this scary progression of like, where am I right now? It was
like mentally,
where's Fluffy?
I'm getting this is really starting to consume me. I better stop while I can. And then I got this gold medal, but no, it was actually, speaking of Drake's.
Yeah.
I blame them.
So, you should.
For the gold medal?
Yeah. No, well, you know, the recipe, actually, the genesis of the recipe came from a Berliner Weiss I tried at Drake's.
Okay.
When I went to see a guy about some homebrew equipment on Craigslist.
Oh,
and it turned out that he's the barrel manager at Drake's. Shout out to Travis Camacho. He's like, hey, try this. And one of them was a Berliner Weiss. This was when I was getting into all grain, and so a few weeks after, I was like, hey, do you guys share recipes with homebrewers? And I really like that. I'd never really had any sours, so this was kind of my foray into sours.
It was very new for you.
Yeah, and I really liked it. It was a Berliner Weiss. It was light and crisp, and I'm not too sour, but just tart and refreshing, and so...
It's a great style.
Yeah,
it's a really good style.
And so he's like, yeah, that's my recipe, so he just sent it to me. He's like, this is 15 barrels, but I'm sure you can scale it down.
And you're like, I don't actually do math.
So the first ribbon I ever won for a homebrewing competition was at the state fair. And it was for that kettle sour Berliner Weiss. And then from there, just kind of went on to other things. I heard about this. I think it was Gordon Strong's article in BYO about Katarina Sour, where it started talking about adding tropical fruits, and so I was trying that, basically the same recipe.
It was a whole new door for you, man.
Yeah.
What were you brewing before that?
Everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Berliner Weiss.
Yeah, and I, you know, in Doe's, there are guys that do the long haul sours, you know, like with Brett and like these really long fermentations and barrels and all this stuff. I'm like,
yeah.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
No.
So
they're insane people. Yeah.
So I was like, what is this? This is a sour that doesn't take a year to be able to drink it. And so, and you don't have to have specialized equipment. So that appealed to me, especially.
Just yogurt pills.
Yeah, yeah. Basically.
Right.
At the time, I was, when I got an all grain, I was doing brew in a bag. I was like, you know, I'm as cheap as they come. So it was like one kettle, one vessel sounds good to me.
Right. Right.
And yeah, so I mean, kind of evolved since then, but it's, I had a raspberry passion fruit version that did pretty well in competition.
That sounds pretty good, man.
Yeah, and then I did a, there's our current club president, Robbie. He always teases me about my yogurt beer. He's British, so it's yogurt beer. Yogurt beer. It's got an H in it, I think, where he comes from.
Yogurt, sir.
Yeah, how dare you?
Yogurt beer. But funnily enough, this recipe was inspired by a cup of yogurt I had that was... It was guava and passion fruit. So
I don't think you should admit that to Robbie. Yeah,
no, he's already, you know, given me plenty of it. So,
was it the fruit at the bottom you have to stir up?
It was already, you know, already mixed in, but it was delicious.
Damn.
Delicious.
You live high on the hog, dude.
Beer. Yeah,
pre-mixed yogurt,
Trader Joe's.
You have to find your inspiration somewhere.
Yeah, let's talk. Well, actually, let's do the recipe because I'm sure we'll lead into how you did the fruit and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
but I'm interested in that.
So, I basically, it's still pretty true to that Drake's recipe. It's about 55% Pilsner, 35% white wheat, and then the rest, like 7-ish% of carapils and 3 of acid malt.
Wow.
And so that was the Berliner Weiss, and then I stuck with that recipe and then just started fruiting it in secondary.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How do you, is it puree or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like aseptic?
The raspberry one, the raspberry passion fruit, I got a bunch of frozen raspberries and some frozen passion fruit puree. And I just kind of tasted like the ratios. Because passion fruit, especially like the yellow passion fruit, is super sour.
Yeah,
it doesn't
right.
take a lot.
Is that concentrated too, or
no? It was just like frozen pulp.
Oh,
and the first time the first one I did the raspberry passion fruit, the pulp I got, it was from like the Hispanic grocery store, and it still had seeds in it.
Oh, damn.
And
okay.
I was like, okay,
this just is a bag of pulp. Why would they have just
sour.
A bag of pulp? That seems weird to me.
It's packaged. I mean, okay. It was in like a plastic tub.
Why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
But like, what do you use it for outside of making fucking kettle sour beers?
I don't know. If you go to like those stores, there's lots of like tropical fruits and
really
you know,
just like,
yeah.
Wow.
So
that's kind of tight.
Now you can get it. It's like,
my mind's blown.
Maybe not in Oakley.
They use it for other things.
Yeah, but like what? Growing. I want to know.
Okay, they put
things
it in pies.
You can't right. understand. Things you
clearly
tiki shouldn't drinks. Understand.
If this was a movie, there we'd have a music, right? We'd have a song yeah. about it, right?
Right. There's no scene in any movie that this reminds you of right mm-hmm. now?
This recipe I got, I actually found a deal with the Vintner's Harvest, the canned stuff.
Yeah.
I found an online deal, so I got canned, you know, no seeds, very pure aseptic, you know. But I mean, the ethnic grocery stores are a great spot to experiment with different.
Paul almost spit out his beer when you called it an ethnic grocery store.
Good.
That's good.
That's crazy. I would never have thought to look. I mean, I know, you know, when we first started talking years ago in homebrewing about like using other sugars.
Yeah.
That was a big place to go, like the Middle Eastern, like the date sugar and all that
yeah,
kind of shit.
Palm
but,
sugar.
Yeah, like I would never have thought a million years to go look for packaged pulp at the grocery stores there.
Yeah,
that's cool.
There. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and I'm obviously, like, when you start adding fruits, you're kind of getting into the big bucks. So
yeah,
you got to pick and choose. You kind of found this balance between quality and price.
Yeah.
So.
So is fruit more expensive than hops even on a homebrew scale?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't run those numbers.
Oh.
Like per pound, per ounce. I don't know. It's yeah.
Well, just in a beer, do you spend like on this sour beer that you entered?
Well, this sour beer has like next to no hops. It's like
price is
it's
no
like,
object.
Well, it's no, like I meant, Paul. It's like, you know, 0.3 ounces.
I mean, like the cost to make 5 gallons of this sour
okay,
beer
yeah.
versus a cost to make 5 gallons of an IPA.
It's probably comparable, but this is. I mean, this you're definitely getting more expensive beers when you start adding fruits.
Yeah,
especially in the quantities that you really want the fruit to stand out, because we're talking
yeah.
like over a pound per gallon. You know,
a fruit
a pound and a quarter, pound and a half. Per gallon.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you, and you add it in the fermentation, or how do you add that?
In secondary. So,
yeah.
And with this recipe, the way it's kind of evolved now with the, like the French Saison yeast I'm using, it's like primary is pretty quick.
Okay.
And so this is actually a very quick recipe. You can turn it, I've turned it around grain to glass in less than 2 weeks.
Wow. Jeez. Fruited or unfruited?
Yes.
Or, okay.
Yes.
Really fruited?
Fruited.
Wow.
Yeah. And it doesn't need to be clear. I mean, it's so you can really play kind of fast and loose with it. So,
do you notice significant differences between the 2 week version, or if you take 2 months or something like that?
I think it does. Kind of, it ages pretty well, and you like start to get some of the fruit qualities, and even like as I don't know if the fruit kind of it doesn't ripen, but there's just kind of like.
It sort of breaks down.
Yeah.
I think I know what you mean. Like some of the some fruits do better in kind of a more longer aging sort of thing. I would think a guava mm-hmm. or something like those tropical things when the sour tartness mm-hmm. sort of drops a little bit and
yeah.
you can kind of get some of the deeper flavors in
yeah.
those, that'd be fun. But like a blueberry doesn't.
No.
Yeah.
Like the raspberry one, you know, that was super clear. It looked like a rosé. In the glass.
Nice.
But this one is obviously pretty hazy with the guava. It has a lot of kind of, it's a very fibrous fruit. And then, you know, the passion fruit is also very cloudy. But
yeah. How are you doing the kettle sour?
It is, well, I currently use a RoboBrew for stuff like this. So it's kind of the glorified coffee urn brew in a bag, similar kind of thing with an electric element. And it's really nice, though. You can keep that that souring temperature. So I do my mash and then collect the wort. You know, it's still in the single vessel.
Okay, it's one of those one vessel guys where you pull
like a grain
the mash out. Okay, right.
Yeah.
All right.
And then cool it down. I used to do a short boil, but then I'm like, you know, what's the point? You know, I really just I'll raise it to like a pasteurization or sterilization temperature to kind of ward off any bad bugs, and then I'll chill it right back down to the souring temperature. And different, if you like visit Milk the Funk or whatever, different lactose strains have different happy places.
Yeah.
And so mine, I think, was around 100. I've been using a Yeast Bay lacto blend that I actually got from Craig over at Shadow Puppet.
Okay.
That's the same one that Matt uses and Luis Del Cielo uses.
Is that all right, Matt, if he tells your secrets?
Shit. Damn it.
Should I cut that out?
Sorry.
Yeah. All right.
Are we live?
We actually haven't started yet. Yeah.
Yeah, so so that takes 36, 48 hours tops.
Are there hops? I mean, I already forgot your recipe. So
not till the boil, really, like the boil after souring.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm sort of not really familiar with the kettle souring, so I figured this was like you sour it and then you ferment it and that's done.
No.
Okay.
No, this is so the convenience, I guess, behind kettle souring is that you don't have to have dedicated equipment. You don't have to worry about cross-contamination with clean beers and stuff. So you are mashing like you normally would.
Right.
And then you're collecting the wort in whatever you plan to boil it in.
So got it. You're
collecting
it
in your boil kettle.
So you're doing your boil kettle.
Which for the RoboBrewer and similar systems is the same.
It's all the same.
Vessel.
So then you pitch your bugs in there.
Yep.
Let it sit for a day, 2 days, whatever the temperature is.
Yep.
And then you fire back up, boil it, add your hops, cool it down.
And one pro tip that I picked up was, like, before you fire it up to boil, pull some of that wort off as a lactose starter to use it again.
Oh, okay.
You know, and within a month or two, it'll still be good.
Nice.
To sour your next batch.
Do you bubble any CO2 through to kind of purge out oxygen before the sour
mash? Yeah, I typically do.
Going?
Some people say it's you know, not a big thing, but, you know, you read something one day and you do it and you're like, and if you get a successful batch, you're like, okay, I'm doing it that way.
Right.
Every time.
Yeah.
Right.
So it may not be necessary, but yeah, I will not bubble it through, but I'll purge like the headspace at the top of the boil kettle with CO2. And then I'll cover like right down on the surface of the wort with plastic wrap.
Okay. Just
trying to keep oxygen out.
Sure.
Because a lot of these lactose strains, not all of them, but a lot of them, they don't like oxygen and they work in anaerobic conditions. And I had Matt can remember this, I had a batch of a kettle sour back in the day that was served at a particular local blues and brews festival that got a butyric acid infection.
Ooh.
And it was, it was not pleasant to say the least.
What is that? Poopy diver?
Yeah. Well, like baby vomit. You know,
I know what it is.
Stomach acid. You've lived it
for the last year. Yeah, and a half.
I think I've paid for beers like that.
But I will say that I still got four bottle caps for the People Choice and served half a keg.
See,
wow.
People don't know what fucking is good.
Exactly,
dude. They don't know.
And that was like several years ago, and I think people were still like, "What is this? What even is a sour?" Right.
What do you pay close attention to the pH of the wort before you pitch?
Yep. So pre-acidify. Mm-hmm. So your normal mash, you're shooting for your 5.2 to 5.4 pH. And then before acidification, I'll drop that to at least 4.5 or a little lower with lactic acid.
Yeah.
So everything that I've read is that if you pre-acidify, the butyric acid really isn't an issue at that point.
Mm-hmm. Well, I pre-acidified on the batch that got the infection.
Yeah. Okay.
The only thing that I did differently on that batch was not purge it with CO2, not take as much precautions to keeping oxygen out.
So you think it was an oxygen issue?
That's the only thing I can point to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and if you're not boiling before you pitch your lacto and whatever else you're adding to try to get a good tasting sour mash, if you don't purge that, there's a lot of acetobacter and all sorts of nasty bugs that are already on the malt. And so in the presence of oxygen, they're going to be raring to go to pump out garbage that you don't want.
And sour mash is different from kettle sour, too. It's subtly different. Like you, sour mash, you're actually pitching your lacto or actually maybe some fresh grain or something like that while the grain is all still there.
You're pitching just about everything.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And kettle sour, the way that it's typically differentiated from sour mash is that you're taking the grain out.
Mm.
So you are collecting the wort after the mash, then souring it. And so that's kind of the main difference. I don't know how, like, taste-wise or finished product-wise, it really makes, you know, what kind of difference it makes. But I've always just done the kettle sour. So basically sour wort, you know, pre-boil souring.
Do you treat your water at all?
I do. I try to keep it kind of true to that original Drake's recipe. That was a little bit on the softer side. So I think I typically will blend RO with my carbon filtered tap water. Where I live, it's pretty soft water, but there's still, you know, occasionally spikes in some of the, like, sodium content or whatever. So I'll cut it with RO.
You track all that.
What did you pitch after you boiled?
After I boil, So originally, I used to just do like a clean, like 001, like Cal Ale or something like that. When I did the raspberry passion fruit, that was when I was kind of learning about Catarina Sour, this, you know, South American Brazilian style with the tropical fruits and stuff like that.
The new hotness, man.
Yeah, and so I was actually looking for videos on YouTube and recipes and things like that, and the only thing I could find were like these homebrewing Brazilian folks that only speak the videos in Portuguese. And I can't, you know, I took some Spanish, but it's not the same.
No.
But you watch and you're like, okay, I know what they're doing. I know what, you know, they're mashing in right now. You know, they're getting their boiler, adding hops, and they're pitching their yeast.
Yeah. You can probably suss out the numbers at least. Right.
And sometimes they would put a recipe or something like that. But, but what I noticed is all these Brazilian guys, were using Saison yeast.
Brazilian guys.
Yeah. Okay.
Who are these people?
Brewing in their thongs and stuff.
Hell yeah, dude. Now I'm going to look up.
All waxed and shit.
Carry sour. Yeah.
Yeah, so I know I saw them using this like saison yeast.
Okay, that's weird.
And a lot of them were using just dry yeast packets, like Bell Saison or something. Like, why are they doing that? You know, Gordon Strong says to use the neutral ale yeast.
Yeah.
So, but you know, some of the comps I entered with the Berliner Weiss were like, the lacto character is a little one note or something like that. So. Just kind of looking for ways to spice it up, to make it a little different, make it a little interesting for judges. And I'm like, well, why don't I try doing what these Brazilian dudes?
It worked.
So you got a thong.
I got a thong. Mm-hmm. More like the Borat.
Banana hammock. You
know. Yeah.
I went and got waxed.
I brew solely in that.
My beer.
So I started trying the French Saison because I didn't want a ton of the like Saison esters and phenols, stuff like that, and the Y-Yeast 3711 is pretty clean, especially if you ferment at the lower end of the range temperature wise. So started doing that, and it's still a monster. Like, it ferments super dry
and it could handle the acidity that it was going into.
Yeah, no problem. Nice. And I looked into that before I chose it. I'm like, okay, it needs to be able to handle pH, and it supposedly would, and it did.
What'd you get your gravity down to?
I think the first time I did it, on the raspberry one, it was like I went from 10.55 to like 10.05.
Wow.
I was like, oh.
That's a drop, dude.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I brewed that again. I was like, let's try to get a little more body in that. So I mashed a little higher. And then so this one, I think I mashed, I forget what it says. I'm looking at the recipe. But I did a protein rest because there's so much wheat. I wanted to help my lautering a little bit. But 154 was this to try to not dry it out too much. But I think even higher, like the 3711 is going to
take it down. Okay. Yeah. So that doesn't matter too much. The mash temp.
And then, yeah. I would go for medium to full.
Okay.
Mash temp on that.
All right.
But your fruit is going to kind of round out that dryness. And
like you said, I'd also be concerned about the pH, you know, what that sac yeast can handle.
Right. Right. Yeah, I mean the saison, the French saison yeast seems to handle it. The if you do the neutral ale, you know, 001 or whatever, 1056, that doesn't seem to be bothered by the low pH. I did try. I think the first time I did this, the guava passion fruit, I did a split batch. So, you know, Fike yeasts were starting to get popular,
right?
And I was like, oh man, I ferment this at 95 degrees, so. I chilled it down, still using the Robo Brew. I chilled it down to 95 or 100 or something, and I took half of it off using the Vike yeast, and the other half I used the French Saison. And the Vike yeast actually didn't get as low, and those are known for being kind of monster fermenters, but it stalled somewhere around like 10, 15, 16.
Wow.
So it was still a pretty decent beer. But the one I entered, I actually kind of took it to Doe's and took it to other friends and said, which one should I enter in NHC? And most people picked the French Saison one.
What was the pH that you ended up with before you decided?
It was like 3.3.
Okay.
You mean before?
Yeah, before.
Before you, boiling?
Right, right.
Yeah. That particular strain that I had, the starter I had, it didn't drop below 3.3. It was quick, but it somewhere around there.
Yeah. Nice. Cool. Well, hey, man, I wish we could have some, but I understand.
Yeah,
it's already gone.
Yep,
it's already gone. But thanks a lot for coming in, Jordan.
You're welcome.
I can imagine how great it tastes.
I know, right? It sounds pretty good.
Sounds
now.
Delicious.
Yeah. Sounds pretty good. All right, Warren, let's do the Twitter game and get out of here. It's late. I'm keeping everybody here too late because we had to start late because my wife. I don't know.
All right.
What was the Twitter game, which, of course, is brought to you by the Beard Law Center, John, at thebeardlawcenter.com. Ties his bow tie tight for you.
The Twitter game was, what piece of BN memorabilia is going to be worth millions at a Sotheby's auction in 50 years?
Okay. 50 years.
Yeah.
All right.
There was quite a few answers, actually, so I had to do a lot of editing.
Are you okay?
People out there, it took a while.
It's a good thing you're sitting down. I don't want you to pass out.
Says Jason's back.
Right. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. I have Twitter game answers to forward to you because one of your Twitter games that while you were gone was what's your next Twitter game?
Oh.
So you don't even have to think for next week. It's already done.
I love that shit.
Yeah. I help delegate your job.
Thank you.
Let's see. Rochi says, that's his name.
Already winner.
Yeah. Justin's New Zealand gemstone necklace will be worth $50 million.
Did he get a gemstone necklace in New Zealand?
New Zealand hop growers we had.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
They emailed Justin to ask if they could use their great new logo. Justin told them no, and then they sent them a gemstone from New Zealand necklace as a thank you.
For saying no?
For saying no. And then they came on the show, and it was great. They're very nice people.
All right.
And so that might actually be worth $50 million.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Neck. I'm just going to put neck. I'm too tired to write anything else.
Neck. Yeah.
No.
Pinta Dink says, hopefully the bub timer since I own it.
Oh, he does own that.
He's trying to cash in on that shit.
He would, dude.
John says, the stripper pole and video of Bevo on it.
I might still have that on my, like two phones ago or three phones ago.
Yeah.
but it was like
30 megapixels.
You know,
yeah, it's like 8 pixels moving around in a dark room.
I was waiting for somebody to say that.
Yeah. It will never die.
You got to authenticate that poll.
That's true.
She has to sign it.
She'll never do that.
No.
Absolutely not.
No.
Let's see. Lloyd says, tasty stickers. Everything else is crap.
Okay.
So maybe a signed tasty sticker?
Yeah, or it's opposite day.
Right. Kevin says, Beardy's petrified beard remains.
Ew.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of gross, but also...
What else is it going to be?
Yeah. All right.
Let's see. Paul Bruce, not Paul Brown.
Not Pale Brown.
Not Pale Brown. Brown. I thought Pale Brown was competing in the Twitter game when I first saw this.
That's what he's been doing for the last segment.
He says, JP's Maroon 5 shirt to show the future how far we've come in race relations.
Look, man, it's not a racist shirt. It's just a joke shirt. That happens to also have racial undertones that are negative.
Hey, it could be both fun and make commentary on the social situation.
Yeah, it's only racially ironic. It's really, we're in a post-ironic racial world.
You need to stop.
Yeah.
And then Sam says, not Bevo Sam.
No, he doesn't know how to use Twitter.
He's banned from Twitter.
The RV, of course. It will have Justin's burnt corpse inside for the lack of firefighting equipment around because he is too cheap.
That's true. Well, the last time I was there, I think it was Oregon. I bought a fucking, it was Firestone. I bought the fire extinguisher because he hadn't updated the house since the last time it caught on fire. I'm not going to sit in here for 3 days and not have a fire extinguisher that actually works.
When you had the last fart of fire extinguisher... To put on the burning brakes.
Yeah.
Right? It already expelled its last gasp.
No, yeah. It didn't. The one that he grabbed off the door to put out the fire had no trigger on it.
Oh.
It was the tank. It was sealed, but there was no way to, like, activate it. Oh. And the other one that he grabbed that was by the driver's side was out.
Okay.
And so he went and, like, grabbed it. I'm, like, standing there. I'm like, it's not. But you can't tell him that. And then he's like, he can't use it. And it's like, well. Okay, there we go. So, yeah, there's no way I'm going to travel on that without buying him a fire extinguisher. So he
nice
should be
you.
Set, yeah.
So
it's like $30, too, by the way.
When that thing catches on fire, I think it actually is a dumpster fire.
On wheels.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
What was the last one again?
The fire. RV with Justin's burnt body inside.
Dumpster fire, that's right.
Since Justin's not here, I'll tell you this, but when we went to Yakima on our trip,
yeah.
Since we were comparing RVs before we went,
the safety aspects of either
all
one.
Of the aspects the condition. Okay.
What?
We compared RVs on the show right before we went.
Oh, on the show. I thought you meant
okay.
Never mind.
And Justin's might have an extra hole in the side from a tree branch that he drove it into while we were parking.
See,
one time.
I've never seen your RV, and I haven't seen Justin's RV in a while, but I would already trust your RV because you do maintenance on it.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Just picture the last time you saw Justin's.
Yeah.
But everything is sagging more.
Okay.
The awning is being held on by the fabric of the awning.
Okay.
All of the metal bracketry is no longer.
First of all, bracketry, it's a good.
Yeah. All of that's not holding anything.
Okay.
The bottom, the back end is maybe a couple inches off the ground.
Like dude.
It's like an A-frame. RV.
Okay.
It's sagging.
All right. So you took his RV to Washington?
Yeah, his gas money, you know.
Your life. Okay, well, let's figure it out. So I got the necklace, the bub timer, my shirt, and then the dumpster fire.
Yes.
And those are the ones that I think we should vote on.
Sure.
We should do it quickly because everyone's tired and I'm hungry and I want to go
home.
What's
for food tonight?
What do you think? I don't think the bub timer. Sorry, Pete. You're never going to win this game.
He's won.
He did?
He's won before.
But you're never going to win again.
You're never going to win anymore. You've already won. Congratulations.
I was going to vote for that one, actually.
Were you?
Yeah.
The bub timer?
Yeah, but you're the host. You can do what you want to do.
The you're the co-host.
You're the co-host.
Sitting over there in the main seat.
Well, look, let's put the bub timer back, just because Sully...
Well, it's probably the only one I can relate to. I mean, I think I remember the stripper pole, so that one should be there as well, but...
You don't have to remember the stripper pole, though.
wasn't that kind of like on a flip phone or something?
It was.
Okay.
No, it was not on a flip phone.
And I also just want to be clear that no clothing came off.
No, well...
I didn't say that. It's interesting you should bring that up.
On purpose.
That's true.
At all.
It was all in your imagination.
The most begrudging stripper act I've ever, like...
I was so disappointed.
I'll put this wool coat on and I'll do this.
Yeah, it was very much like... Fine. Whoosh. Yeah. That was funny.
I wish I could have worn sweatpants.
So do I, to be honest with you.
Rude.
Just because that would have been amazing. you can hold more dollar bills that way because it stretches out.
Right.
It fills out.
That's good
okay.
Advice.
So the necklace. Do we want to vote on that or not?
Go to bed, Ryan.
No.
No, okay. Necklace is gone. Yeah. Bub timer. Who wants to vote for the bub timer being worth $1 million?
I made a big deal about it. I'm going to vote.
Yeah, totally going to vote for that. My Maroon 5 very much not a racist t-shirt. Shirt.
Hashtag.
Okay, we got two votes. And then the dumpster fire. I'll vote for the dumpster fire, too. All right, Matt didn't even vote, so...
Yeah, what is this?
That one.
All right, dumpster fire.
I don't think that was an intentional vote.
Matt's falling asleep. We got to get out of here. It's late. Sorry, everybody. Appreciate that very much. Did I do all my stuff? I think I did. Hell yeah, boy. I did. I got it.
Good all right. job tonight, by the way.
Thank you, man. I appreciate
that. Take the compliment, okay?
Okay, do we have another show coming up, Bev, next week? Are we on?
Yes.
Okay. We have a show next week, so tune in for that.
It's on the schedule. Yeah. I don't remember who it is.
That's fine.
Hey, just log into the BN's calendar, and you can see who's
and
coming
up
next
And you'll figure it
week.
Out. Yeah, for sure. Thank you to Andy, Justin, of course, Pale, Jordan, and Matt. For coming in and talking about your beers. I appreciate that, guys, very much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. It's the tap
brewery.
The tap brewery.
All right, got it.
There we go.
Sully, thank you very much.
As always, thank
I love you.
You
very much.
I do, too. I love you.
Get a room.
Yeah.
Self-love. I mean, I love you.
Thank you. All right.
Bye, Sixer.
All right, we're out of here. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you.
Thank you, Kyle.
Sky and winning the race, JP does great as his charity can.